Parkway Tunnel near Keller Town Hall. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Wow. Do you realize that it's January 29th, 2017?
All day.
All day, yeah. And I'm your host once again here at Sovereign Mind Radio. And, you know, we just keep showing up. And sooner or later, we're going to get the job done here, I think. I'm here in the studio.
Well, it'd be kind of nice if the job was done and we wouldn't have to show up.
You know the real deal.
I'm not sure it's ever completely done.
I was just
going to
say, yeah, it's never going to be done.
Because it's like cleaning a house with kids in it. Even once you get the house put back together, you turn around.
And it's all tore apart again?
Yeah.
There is that.
Somebody I'm gave here. Them crackers.
I am here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our trusted producer, soundboard operator, all around great guy.
Bob Martin. I thought maybe you forgot.
That's what I thought. Good morning.
No, I'm not quite that yet. Maybe I should go get some Prevacid or something. You know, they got the jellyfish thing that makes your memory better. I don't know.
Huh?
What?
So good morning, Mark, Linda, and Red.
Good morning. And Red Smith, who's been on a blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid ascent into the unfunded pit of hell via a non-existent recovery, which is the mantra of the prostitutes and the self-serving politicians and bankers.
Yep.
Well, I almost got through that. I made one mistake.
Well. It's a mouthful.
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Next week, we'll be changing up our lineup a little bit. Jefferson State of Mind is going to be, we're going to just kind of merge these programs a little bit. It's going to be
a sovereign
State of Mind, try to move the debate forward. And they will start at 9 o'clock and we will start at 10. Only we is they and they is us and we are them.
Yeah, we is all we and they is them and them better watch for we.
Say that fast a few times.
Can a woodchuck, shave a cedar shingle thin.
Yeah.
Anyway, Reading Patriots meet every Monday night at 6 p.m., 3276 Bocelli Lane. And I'm not sure who was there or what's going on Monday.
I can't think of her name. The lady from Siskiyou County that's a historian.
She does Jefferson's Back Roads. She does. We're about to get our intel.
Oh, right, there we go. We've got it right in front of us.
Gail Jenner. That wasn't going to come to me. So there you go. Yep.
There we go. Right off the teletype.
Yep.
The Terry type.
Right off the Terry type.
The ticker tape. The Terry ticker tape.
The Terry ticker.
There you go. Reading Patriots, again, stand for limited government fiscal responsibility and adherence to the Constitution. And, for right, the American way, I feel like we should play the Mighty Mouse song or something.
Yeah. A little Superman action going on.
Here I come to save the day. Yeah. I think that's, we might get that Andy Kaufman version or something. Anyway, you want to become a 51ster. As opposed to, there we go. All right, here we go.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that almost mighty got it.
It's scary that you even. So what were you doing this morning?
Who doesn't love Mighty Mouse?
I didn't say I didn't love Mighty Mouse. I said it was scary that you knew all that.
Here I go. You ever see that Kaufman one? It's great.
We never despair, because we know that where there's danger, he is there. He is there on the land, on the sea, in the air. We're not worrying at all.
Where's the here I come to save the day? Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
There you have it.
Never realized that song was so long.
That was the extended dance mix.
Oh, boy, we'll do anything to entertain ourselves here at Sovereign Mind Radio.
Some people will.
Some people do. It's what we do. We sort of have a synergy here. And I highly suggest that you go to the Shasta Lantern at theshastalantern.com. And do we have any veterans events?
I do not at the moment.
There you have it.
I'm kind of...
Huh?
A little quiet for once for the vets.
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of out of the loop the last few days, so...
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. Sometimes everything's got to take a step back and take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. We got Mike Zullo coming on at 9:30, which should be great.
Oh, he had a surprise this morning. He called me at 7:30 and was all ready to go on.
Oh.
He must be in Florida
or
someplace.
No, he's in Arizona.
No, he said he was in Phoenix. I'm like, okay, he must have... subtracted an hour instead of adding an hour because I told him he still got 2 hours to go. So.
Okay.
So then he should be ready to go at 9:30 then.
Ready to go.
Sorry about that, Mike. I tried to make it clear, but it happens.
We're going
to
have an update.
Arizona doesn't do daylight savings, correct?
They don't ever change their time in Arizona.
So they're 1 hour ahead of us right now.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does that mean in daylight savings they'd actually be 2 hours ahead of us?
No, and when we're on daylight savings, we're on the same time as Arizona.
Okay, and then when we're... No. Okay, gotcha.
Wow, all this fascinating information that I didn't know about.
Oh, just to tell the time.
Yeah.
Well, just be nice. Keep the time the same.
Yeah.
Just saying. Well, anyway, we're going to get an update.
Will Jefferson be on daylight savings time? That's a good question.
Will the state of Jefferson acknowledge daylight savings time?
I don't know. We'll have to think about that one.
Haven't really thought about the pros or cons.
I don't know. Anyway, excuse me.
If that's the hardest decision we have to figure out, we're in good shape.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's all we got to go on, hey, we're in great shape.
Well, so, it might be kind of fun to make the rest of California have to reset their watches every time they cross the state line. You know?
Just another little poke.
Just because
we can poke them one more time.
Yeah, it'll be kind of like the bug stations, only different.
I think we ought to. One of my favorites is charging them a fee to come into California with CARB-compliant vehicles because they represent a public safety danger because they tend to explode.
And catch fire?
Yeah.
All righty then. Well, we're going to get an update from Mike Zulu on the whole birth certificate debacle that, gosh darn, the mainstream media just never seems to pick up the fact that that birth certificate is forged. Wow, it's all about whether he's born in Kenya and you're a racist and he's because he's black and, you know, you don't care about, you know, you're just trying to figure out a way to delegitimize the president, even though there's experts that all say it's true that are on both sides of the aisle and have multiple problems with the birth certificate issued out of the White House. Just saying. Why report on anything as like that? Because it has nothing to do with becoming a progressive socialist state, seceding from the Union.
Yeah. You know, and actually I had my brother explain the word racist to me, and now I understand why we get called racist all the time, because racist actually means person that wins an argument against a liberal.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So every time they say you're a racist, they're acknowledging that you have defeated their logic and facts.
So then you could become from a racist to a shootist.
You could go that. You could make that transition. I don't know that I suggested.
All depends on your situation at the time.
It does.
Well, I'll tell you, the Trump administration has been on a tear this last week. And it's great. I love this guy. I mean, he's bombastic. He's egotistical. He's rich. He doesn't take crap off no one. He's not politically correct. What better guy to be in there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. It's true.
He doesn't dance the dance, huh?
No, he doesn't play games with these boneheads. I mean, you know, there's so many instances of these prostitutes, you know, carrying the water of whoever pays them the most, I guess. I'm not even sure why, because if you're so, ideologically bent that you can't even consider the truth in your reports, then why are you on TV again and who's paying you?
Well, it's the same four people. I mean, to the end of your question, who's paying you? Take your pick. You got one of four people that's paying.
Yeah, let's see. It's either Satan. No, I'm sorry. That's the wrong guy. It's either the Rothschilds or George Soros or
Rupert Murdoch.
Rockefeller. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. I guess they don't own anything, do they? They don't own the media.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I wonder why they have what an extra grade.
Darth Vader, yeah, right. Darth Maul.
No.
Take your pick.
You cannot be Jedi Warrior.
No, they're definitely the Sith.
Go back to sleep, you must.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, there you have it.
But yeah, when you basically have 98% of your media outlets that are owned by four people, it's probably not a good thing. Because you got Murdoch, you got Soros and his outlets, and Ted Turner and his people, and then I always forget the fourth one. Hmm. There is a fourth one.
Well, that's the Communist News Network, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Owned by the CIA.
Wow, really?
Hmm.
That would explain it.
I always want to say Ted Turnip for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that was married to Jane Fonda?
Yeah, I was going to say Hanoi Jane's cuckold.
Yeah, they're like peas in a pod, only not anymore. Hmm. Interesting stuff. Well,
Michael Eisner from Disney. Disney owns friggin' everything, man.
Yeah, no shoes. That was almost a Freudian slip there.
ESPN, ABC, Disney, you know, Marvel Studios.
Holy crap, Batman.
What don't they own?
Yeah. Well, moving on to some of the news. The Trump administration chooses to replace senior State Department diplomats this last week. A number of career foreign service officers were informed this week they will not be asked to stay on in the senior or sensitive post while under the direct control of the White House, creating an unusual leadership vacuum among the top ranks of the State Department. Gee, is that a shocker? He fired everybody.
Yeah, good.
But they said they quit.
Either way,
we get rid of them.
Yeah, headline should read, bloated bureaucrats must find real job.
Yeah, they're going to be out there with their staffers finding out how the real economy actually is. It's like, they'll be out there crying, you know.
Recession, sure.
Snowflakes and, you know, with the other, you know, that whole March thing was just ridiculous.
That's disgusting.
It's like, let's see. I want to be taken seriously by going out and dressing up as a vagina and walking down the street with signs of F Trump.
Yeah, with my children.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah, because I'm a paragon of moral virtue.
Yes.
Yeah, I could tell you about some of the discussions my brothers and I had about that, but probably not on the air.
It's like, what?
Should we just push the button now?
Yeah, just push the button.
Just push the button down and leave it for a while?
About four times.
You know, it's like the P squad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I never
present arms!
I'm not going
there. Right, face, you know?
Watch where you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean...
Well, just in those vagina costumes, I mean, they could have probably better thought out where their face fit in that part of the costume. just saying. Don't think you thought that one out that well.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is just...
And did you see the meltdown Ashley Judd? I used to think Ashley Judd was cute. I used to think she was a nice woman. I used to think a lot of things about her. That rant she went on was like, it was like after watching the Brady Bunch movie for 4 hours. I mean, my mouth was open. I was like aghast. I was stunned. I couldn't talk because it was like, what did she just say? Talk about a meltdown. I don't even know what she was talking about.
I prefer the video of James Kirk meeting Ashley Judd. Fire phasers and get us the hell out of here, Sulu.
We're out of dilithium crystals, Captain. She's going to blow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, wow.
Well, that was Madonna.
Well, we've always known that broad was insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's like,
knew that she wasn't
I'm thinking about blowing up the White House.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't say that on national TV.
I mean, why don't you drag out Larry Flint and have him preach on morality?
Yeah, that would be
probably more effective than Madonna.
It'd be Madonna and Larry Flint trying to blow up the White House. We could play dun 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 dun. You know, I'd be like Mission Impossible. You know, she's wheeling him in the wheelchair. He's got the bomb strapped to his lap.
Well, Madonna threatened to blow up the White House, but as we know, Madonna will blow anything, so what do you want?
We have a call.
We do.
You better go to the phones.
We have Round Mountain Bob on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, folks. You know, I enjoy us laughing about Madonna and all the stupid things they do, but, you know, right here in our own town, we got our biggest union going on strike. And you know, here's the way I feel about unions and people going on strike that make $20+ an hour and benefits that you and I can't even afford to get.
Funny how
I think what our county ought to do and our city ought to do to these union people that all they do is want and want and want is they ought to just let them go and hire new people, get rid of the union, because the union sucks to begin with, and just start over. I think we'd save a lot of money, and I think the talk ought to be about that.
Well, you know, there is the fact that Starman decided to, he's going to retire this last week and become an attorney.
I wish he would take the rest of the group that's with him there, all of them, and all retire, just leave. They ought to quit, because then we wouldn't have to give them retirement if they quit. We wouldn't have to give them vacation money.
Well,
I know whenever I quit a job, they were easy to get that.
Well, in reporting, Channel 7 said, and as we know, they get the facts right, said that he was leaving the city in good shape and felt really good about retiring because they're in such good shape financially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see, right before the strike, right before a collapse. Right.
Did you read Mayor Brent Weaver's statement about Starman?
Yeah, I saw that too.
I mean, was he under the desk while he was making that statement? I mean,
he reminds me of Pee Wee Herman. He's out there on his or special ed, you know, on crank.
I got meal.
That's right. Hey guys.
Hey lady, I peed in your pool.
Who believes Brent Weaver may as well believe Francie Sullivan.
I don't know if we should talk to Francie about this.
Because the two of them are about as mindless as they come.
Hey, lady.
Hey, lady.
It's really...
Let's chew on that one for a while. Okay. I'll let you go.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
But doesn't Brent Weaver remind you a little bit of special ed, because he's got his helmet on, he's out there doing his miking, you know, doing his mountain bike thing, and he's got Mike, what's his name, pedaling behind him, and that's their news story, is that they're talking about what a beautiful day in the neighborhood it is to ride our bikes, and we have all these mountain trails and everything's just fine.
Golly gee.
Oh man. And in the meantime, you know, economic Armageddon's on the horizon, and we're about ready to secede from the Union. And the but
it's okay.
the unions are going on strike because the CalPERS is falling apart.
Redding's facing apocalyptic financial annihilation.
Mexicans are, you know, we're getting ready to put a border wall up so that we can stop the illegal immigration. And it's like,
oh, and that's another one. Have you seen how the argument shifted the last week from the wall is racist, which nobody's listening to anymore, to, oh, now it's too expensive and it won't do anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the racist thing's not working anymore.
You know how many people have had to explain to how a tariff works this week?
Oh, boy.
I've had so many people.
I guess
we have
to go to a break, huh? Bob's shaking his head.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy way. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special, with their own brand of misery from being alone too long. To die from the cold in the arms of a nightmare knowing well that your best day.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy, everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The seeds of corruption are already in full bloom in our country. We see this by the extreme violence and morally bankrupt behavior demonstrated by people from every age group and walk of life. Sadly, this behavior is not something you catch, but it is learned. It's being taught in our colleges, evangelized through TV and movies, and substantiated by the media. Your best protection from this vile corruption is having a living relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, God bless America. Let shining sea. I'm proud to be an American.
I guess we're back on the air. I have to start talking again.
You don't have to.
Holy moly. Go ahead then. You're up.
Just saying. You don't have to. You make it sound like you have to, you know?
Well, we sort of have a radio, this thing called a radio station, yeah, where we have airtime. And when we have airtime, it sort of means we don't want dead airtime. Isn't that, is that assumption pretty good, Bob?
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up. We, yes, have, we need to constantly move forward.
Yeah, we kind of have pregnant pauses once in a while, but nothing like dead air.
But we do have a caller, yeah, on the, we do, line, a guest, in fact.
We, yes, have a guest. Mike Zullo is on the line with us, and we haven't had Mike on the program for a while, but we have a lot of respect. I do personally have a lot of respect for Mike and the investigation that he's done into the forged birth certificate of Barack Obama that was issued from the White House that, gosh darn, I mean, the mainstream media just didn't cover it. I mean, good grief. That's just, I find that absolutely amazing that they didn't cover a story that was huge news and or just blacked it out completely, because they always tell the truth, right, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. You could just take it to the bank when they talk.
Yep.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Good morning. How are you, folks?
Oh, we're,
you
doing,
know,
good.
The fun never stops. How about you?
You know, I actually, I was texting Linda. I actually told her I called 2 hours early. I got the time all screwed up this morning.
Yeah,
because of the time change.
It happens. It happens.
Why isn't anybody answering?
Well, I guess Arizona's on its own time.
Yeah, we stay current. You guys change. We're always true to the cause, man.
There you have it. So tell me, give me an update on the posse. I mean, I know the sheriff didn't get reelected this last round, and you're still working with him as far as the posse?
No, Sheriff Arpaio did not get reelected for what would have been his seventh consecutive term. He was in office for 24 years. Really, what happened to him is a travesty, what was done to him. In order to get him out, they basically had to drop a nuclear bomb on him. And that's a topic for another show. But the new sheriff coming in, backed by George Soros to the tune of $3 million.
I see.
He seemed to make it a priority to disband the cold case posse and shut down the Obama investigation. Well, as fate would have it, we knew he was going to do that because he telegraphed that early on. And Sheriff Arpaio made the decision to release our findings. And the cold case posse was actually disbanded, if you will, before the new sheriff took office. Its members resigned. My resignation took effect December 31st at midnight, right before the 1st, which is when the transfer of power would have occurred. So there really wasn't anything for him to disband. It seems to be a lot of showboating. But, you know, that's what he had to do. You know, when you take money from the likes of George Soros to the tune of $3 million, you have 3 million fishhooks in your back. And
yeah,
every day somebody's going to be tugging on one of those lines.
Well, I know you guys had a – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're good. Go ahead.
I know you guys did a news conference in December on the – I guess it was around the 15th, and I caught some of it. And you guys went back through some of the evidence, and evidently there's new people on board on this thing, and you know, that are on the right and the left, experts in forensic document examination. And where do we go from here? I mean, what's on the horizon? I mean, obviously we couldn't get Loretta Lynch to do anything about this. Why it never went anywhere, as I think, but she's just gotten fired this last week.
Yeah, and that was the dilemma that we had even going back to 2012. 2012, we gave two press conferences where we had probable cause that the document was tampered with, but the problem we faced is where do you go with it? You couldn't give it to Eric Holder, obviously. You couldn't give it to the FBI because they answered to the DOJ, so you had no avenue there. We went to Congress four different times. We were told John Boehner will never allow this to come to the floor, so we couldn't go there, and we just continued on. And on December 15th, we now revealed to the world different evidence than we had in 2012. 9 points of forgery. We have the source document that was utilized where they took information from a valid birth certificate to create the Obama certificate. We proved it beyond a reasonable doubt with forensic science. We had two different disciplines, a document examiner, Reed Hayes in Hawaii, and an Italian digital forensics corporation in Italy named ForLab. And what I did with them is we would cultivate the evidence. I would send that evidence to each of them independently. Italy and Hawaii had no idea of one another, and two different disciplines, two different types of expertise, both concurred the findings, verified the findings. So we have the source document. We have irrefutable evidence at this point that this document has been fictitiously created to create an illusion that there was a live a certificate of live birth. Now, where do you go from here? Well, look, we have a new administration. I think the timing, if the timing was ever going to be right, it's going to be under this administration. But you have to let them get situated. And right. You can see the way Donald Trump is. He is like a human locomotive.
Right.
I mean, he is just plowing through things that need to be toppled. And you have to give him that time span to get situated and do the things that they need to do. So we elected to hold off a little bit here for about 90 days. We did get this information to a congressman, so it's in there for safekeeping. And we'll determine after 90 days pass what the atmosphere is like and how to move forward.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think that they've deflected. They've done, you know, the mainstream media has their credibility is just out the window. They've lied and deceived and blacked out everything. And I've been on your team for years. I mean, quite frankly, you know, looking at this thing going, it doesn't matter where he's born. Number one, I don't think he's eligible to be the president under the clause of a natural born citizen because both parents have to be natural born citizens according to the Constitution. And I don't know whether that's up to date or been overturned or any of that. But, you know, this whole diversion tactic of he was born in Kenya has nothing to do with this forged document.
No, it doesn't. And look, the reality of this is you would forge or fabricate a document like this for this cause. I mean, this was for political gain. So what would be the necessity? You either are going to be concealing your place of birth, which you would have to assume would be out of the country, because even if you got the state wrong, you still would have been born on American soil.
Right.
You know, or it has something to do with the citizenship of the parents,
right,
or the identity of the parents. Mm. Those are the only reasons. There'd be no other reason to do this.
Well, there's always the thought that, you know, he was a dual citizen, you know, coming in from Indonesia, and that's where he went to school, grew up. He talks about, you know, the most beautiful sound in the world was the, you know, singing out of the mosques. And then Wayne Allen Root, who went to school at Columbia, where he was supposed to be there at the same time, you know, nobody knows him, evidently.
Nobody saw him even.
And his theory is that he registered as a foreign exchange student, and maybe that's what they're covering up.
You know what? Even if they were covering that up, you have felonies that have been committed here. Because to cover up something like that, which, look, let's be real, they would have just brushed that aside. The point is now you have felonies creating a vital statistics document. These are federal felonies. And to proffer this for political gain to deceive the electorate, it's mind-boggling that something like this could happen in this country.
Well,
it has happened. I'm telling you, that document is as fake as the narrative about his upbringing.
And this wasn't just the act of an individual. There was a conspiracy here to do this. There was several people that conspired to create this document and this narrative, correct?
I would agree with you. And, you know, look, there's some unanswered questions here how the ANI certificate, the source document, factors into this. But it's only, you know, three possible scenarios. One, her birth certificate was acquired through some other means outside of her control. Two, she handed it over to someone, which we're not accusing her of that, but that's a possibility. Or number three, this is an inside job at the Department of Health in Hawaii, and they needed birth certificates as donor documents.
Well, that would make sense. Just, That would make the most sense to me.
Scenarios.
I'm sorry, Mike. That would make the most sense to me is that it would be an inside job because we knew who was in control of that at the time in Hawaii, and they had an axe to grind as far as, you know, making sure that Obama, you know, didn't have this skeleton in his closet. So, I mean, that would make the most sense for political reasons that he was, you know, either bribed or, you know, coerced or whatever. These guys play pretty hardball up at the top there as well.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, Hawaii, even prior to the release of the certificate, they had that funding letter that was circulated at Kapalani Medical Center. And there was a letter purportedly written by the president that they displayed, President Obama. And I believe this was in 2008, right after his election. It was later determined because of WND's persistence that that letter was a computer forgery. It wasn't the actual letter. And they went to the lengths of superimposing and cut and pasting his signature on it and changing the wording. And they resisted that until WND started making noises about a federal investigation because of violations of soliciting donations for a charity. And all of a sudden, they came clean on it. Well, the person responsible for that was the then representative, Neil Abercrombie, who turned into the governor of Hawaii around the production time of this birth certificate. So they're not, you know, they're no strangers to fabricating things. And that's very disconcerting that you have people that are just okay with changing documents to give an appearance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would agree with you that, you know, that the most plausible thing is it's some kind of politically motivated thing and there's some cooperation somewhere.
Well, we know that these guys will lie about anything. I mean, you look at so many instances. I mean, they lied about the video from Benghazi, and it's been for political gain all the time to get this left-wing agenda, progressive, you know, thing through. But, you know, let's talk about the certificate itself, and you've got – and the experts that you have. I mean, the points that are on the certificate that are blatantly fabricated, you know, what are they?
Well, what we have here is we have groups of words in different places of the certificate in different boxes. For example, there's Honolulu, Oahu on one line. There's an X right below it in a checkoff box registering yes or no. There's Oahu in a box right underneath that X. Then there's another X in another checkoff box. And then subsequently there is another X far to the right underneath that box. What we were able to determine is the juxtaposition, the relational position of all those words and characters match exactly to the positions found on the ANI certificate. In other words, they transpose directly over each other. You're taking a document that was purportedly typed 16 days after the Obama, if we're going to believe the Obama is even creditable. It would have been 16 days later, typed in the exact same places. It's impossible. We also have two date stamps, and these date stamps are critical because these give the illusion on the Obama certificate that this was created in August 8th of 1961. The ANI certificate has date stamps of August 24th, 1961, and both appear on the left corner and right corner of the document. Those date stamps are at the exact same angle, vertically and horizontally placed on the Obama certificate as they are on the ANI certificate. That is a physical impossibility. They are hand stamped. In order to get that type of accuracy, you would have had to precisely measured the angles, vertical and horizontal, and precisely placed a hand placed stamp on the Obama certificate, then on the ANI certificate or vice versa to get those angles. It is an impossibility.
So when you say
the only way that happens is when computer alteration is involved.
When you say the ANI certificate, maybe you can explain to our listeners, you know, what these two certificates are and how, you know, are they, you know, different certificates from different people, or explain that a little bit.
The ANI certificate is a birth certificate that was in the possession of Johanna ANI. It's her birth certificate that she acquired in 1995, hard copy, from the Department of Health in Hawaii. It is officially stamped. It has got the official seal, which is easily read, unlike Obama's, easily deciphered as to being the Hawaii seal. It's been in her possession since 1995. And we got in possession of this document because she gave it to Jerry Corsi when he was doing the work, Where's the Birth Certificate, that he was writing a book about Obama's mysterious birth certificate. She met up with Corsi in Hawaii and handed him her certificate. Well, we interviewed Corsi and we took the certificate. Now we have that document. From the get-go, the angles of the stamps appear to be very, very similar, very close, but they were never exact. As time went on, we kept playing with the certificate. There was something we couldn't figure out. They were very, very close, but we couldn't make them exact. It was later determined that the Ani certificate, when Hawaii had photocopied it, which is the way that they do it over there, that her birth certificate was actually canted about a degree and a half off center. Once you made that degree and a half adjustment, the state stamps matched exactly. Then as we started looking at the document, we started to line up the registration number on the top. And on both Yanni and the Obama certificate, there is a 61 is the beginning number. We lined up the 61, and all of a sudden this word Oahu just kind of jumped off the page. They were matching, and it was very strange. So we decided to then start to match every letter on the document. And when we lined up the word Honolulu, not only did the words Honolulu line up exactly, so did Oahu, so did Oahu, so did X, so did X, so did X.
So in other words, they overlaid. In other words, they overlaid.
They overlaid perfectly, and they were both of the same mathematical proportion. They are juxtaposed to each other. They are relational. In other words, you pick them up. They pick them up in a block and simply move them over. And that's the same thing they did with the date stamps. The date stamps, you would assume, would have been done individually. They weren't. They were picked up together as a block and moved over to the Obama certificate. And all they did to change the 24, which is the day in the Ani date stamp, to 8 in Obama, was cut and paste an 8 from a different certificate. We know that different certificates were used in the creation of the Obama certificate. So that, in a nutshell, is very hard to see. We have videos about that. But it's very hard for people to understand unless you see it. You see it, it's compelling.
Where can you go to see it?
You know, I believe Carl Gallups has an archive now. CarlGallups.com/Obama fraud. There is an archive of every video, all the press conferences, synopsis videos, and your folks can go there and take a look at those.
I'm curious, how did you guys find or discover the Ani birth certificate? I mean, what was it that led you to go, wow, this is a certificate that was used to forge the Obama document? Out of all the birth certificates out there, what led to the discovery of the Ani document?
The Ani document was given to Dr. Jerome Corsi about 10 days after the Obama certificate materialized. Dr. Corsi was doing research for his book, and when he was on his way back to Hawaii through a mutual contact, Johanna Ani volunteered her certificate to show him what a real one looked like. And she gave it to Jerome Corsi. When about 11 months later, when Jerome Corsi came out to Arizona, when we were going to take on this investigation, we interviewed Jerome Corsi for 16 hours. It was about the 14th hour of that 16, and it was a long 2 days, that he showed me the Ani certificate. And what was very strange about it, you would expect all birth certificates to look the same, except there was just something creepy about this. They were very similar. And when I saw the angles of the date stamps, that really struck me, because it's impossible to be that precise on hand-placed date stamps. Plus, at that time, we were looking at other certificates, and date stamps that were applied on the same document couldn't have the same angles. They were all, you know, up and down, left and right. Nothing else matched any other certificate that we saw. So we retained possession of this document since 2011.
So it was
what
just,
was
just kind of
us was the fact that it was not centered correctly, and that was making it difficult for a lot of years for us to come to this conclusion.
So it was just kind of through sheer luck and providence that this needle in the haystack got volunteered.
Or divine intervention, I can't tell you which.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it makes no sense to me why it came the way it came. I can't figure that out. We did interview Johanna Ani on two separate occasions, and she maintains she was always in control of that document until she gave it to Jerome Corsi.
Well, just so everybody knows out there, you can go to www.carlgallops.com/Obama fraud, and that's where you're going to find the videos of all this that we're talking about here. And the evidence is overwhelmingly compelling to say what is going on here, you know. And these experts, you know, one was actually, a Democrat or a leftist or progressive or whatever you want to call it, is my understanding as well.
Reed Hayes, a document examiner in Hawaii, is an Obama supporter. And when I first contacted him in 2012, he told me as much. He didn't want to look at this. He said, I will never do anything to hurt the president, and I support the president. And what I had told him was, you know, Mr. Hayes, I'm not asking you to hurt the president. I'm asking you to take a look at this PDF file and tell me it's all okay so I can close this case out. Because at that point in time, I couldn't even believe this. I just assumed there's just a lot of coincidences here, but let me get an expert, take a look at this, let him tell me it's okay, and we're going to be finished. Well, he calls me back a few days later and tells me he can't tell me it's okay, that there's something wrong with it. And I asked him, I said, well, look, would you continue looking at it? And his response to me was, well, that's what I do. I'm a document examiner. I'll look at it. And Reed Hayes has been helping us ever since for the last 5 years.
I mean, it almost seems so out there, because in the land of the free, in, you know, home of the brave, where journalism and the search for truth would, go after this and see all this, but that's not the case anymore. I mean, we don't have the land of free journalism anymore. It's all about, you know, the fake news and... And what we do, well, I guess we have free journalism now because we are they and they is us. But it's been an incredible ride the last few years, you know, listening to the evidence and all of the mounting mounds, a mountain of evidence that says this is a problem. And yet nobody comes forward from the government to say anything.
No, no one comes forward for the government. You know, here's what they do. This has been the deal for the last 8 years. They want to just throw out a narrative, and they want you to believe it. And that's what they do. And a lot of the public just sits back. Nobody does critical thinking anymore. They get the 30-second soundbite. They think they know all the points of the issue, and they believe the narrative. Look, his Columbia thing is a farce. Because I'll tell you what happened with Columbia. We got information that he was missing a year in his verified transcripts where he purported, I believe he said he was there in 1980 or 81. I don't remember the date anymore. We had information that there was no transcript for him there. We leaked that information through WND, through Jerry Corsi, on purpose to see the reaction of Columbia University. Columbia University, within a couple days, issues a statement that it was an error. They first issued that there were two Barack Hussein Obamas at Columbia. Now, you know that's a lie.
Yeah.
You know that's a lie. But then they went further and said it was a computer problem, and magically, that year then was reinstated. Now, I don't believe that, because you had the Wall Street Journal, I believe it was, went and talked to 400 alumni, and nobody remembers seeing this guy.
Right. Mike,
nobody.
We're going to have a hard break coming up here in just a few seconds. If you want to hold on with us, we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. That would be great.
That's fine. We are listening
to Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A top advisor to President Trump says a federal judge's emergency order Saturday does not affect the temporary ban on refugees and citizens of seven predominantly Muslim countries entering the U.S. Kellyanne Conway tells Fox News Sunday the judge's order barring the U.S. from deporting people from nations subject to Mr. Trump's travel ban, quote, really doesn't affect the executive order at all. Meanwhile, leading Mexicans are spoiling for a fight with the U.S. now over President Trump's border wall plan.
Former Mexican President Felipe Calderon urges we have to put U.S. security issues under review, including the presence of U.S. agents on Mexican soil. Billionaire Carlos Slim suggesting a program substituting imported products and proposing a Buy Mexican campaign. Presidents Enrique Peña Nieto and Donald Trump have spoken on the phone, describing their chat as constructive and productive. President Trump now says, I respect Mexico and I love Mexican people. The damage is already done and no one south of the soon-to-be-fortified border believes him. James Blears, Mexico.
The Pentagon says a service member has been killed and three others wounded this morning in a raid in Yemen targeting a local al-Qaeda affiliate. 14 terrorists killed in the assault, apparently.
Allegiances in Yemen are very important politically in addition to socially. So this tribe is considered to be one of the allies of al-Qaeda in Yemen. It's not 100% clear at this point whether the people who were targeted were actual members of al-Qaeda, but these allegiances get a little bit murky in Yemen.
Correspondent Ashraf Khalil. Police say drivers overdosing on heroin in Highport, North Carolina, have caused three crashes in the city in the past week. One involved two children. They were not hurt, though. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I promise to have and to hold from this day forward.
At SelectQuote, we know your promise is your commitment to always be there for them, even if you're not.
I promise to always protect you, no matter what.
Since 1985, SelectQuote has been helping people keep their promises. Our life insurance advisors shop many highly rated insurers to get you the best rates. A $500,000 term life policy could cost less than $19 a month. Just visit the new SelectQuote.com to get free quotes in minutes.
Okay, I'm really nervous. Try not to freak out, okay?
I won't, I promise. Now check the mirrors, then slowly back up.
Visit SelectQuote.com to get started.
Visit SelectQuote.com to get started or call 1-800-636-9292. That's 1-800-636-9292.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Example rate based on a 10-year policy for a 35-year-old male in excellent health. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
French voters are selecting the socialist candidate who will face a tough battle against rivals from the far left, far right, and the political center in the presidential election this spring. The socialist primary runoff today offers a stark choice between two candidates, Benoît Hamon and former Prime Minister Manuel Valls, on opposite poles of the beleaguered party, with sharply differing plans for France. The increasingly uncertain presidential race was rocked last week by ethics questions faced by conservative candidate François Fillon. Financial prosecutors are investigating an allegedly fake but handsomely paid job held by the former prime minister's wife. The sons of the late Princess Diana plan to build a statue to mark the 20th anniversary of her death in a Paris car crash in 1997. Princess William and Harry have commissioned the statue, which will be paid for by private funds, and erected in the public gardens of Diana's former London home, Kensington Palace. News and analysis at townhall.com. The state of Illinois remains locked in a historic budget impasse that's sending deficit projections through the roof.
The state Senate will try to break the deadlock next month, having put off last week's planned vote on a compromise that's been dubbed the Grand Bargain. The stalemate between the Democratic-controlled legislature and Republican Governor Bruce Rauner has resulted in the longest period the state has gone without a budget since World War II. The standoff has led to a projected deficit of $5.3 billion.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, January the 29th, the 29th day of 2017. There are 336 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1845, Edgar Allan Poe's poem The Raven was first published in the New York Evening Mirror. And on this date in 1964, Stanley Kubrick's nuclear war satire Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, premiered in New York City. More on these stories at townhall.com.
you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. And don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are Americans.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, and we're talking to Mike Zullo, formerly of the Sheriff of Pio Cold Case Posse.
Yep.
And we're talking about the birth certificate that just seems to keep falling through the cracks of the mainstream media because they don't want to deal with a president who forged a birth certificate or a staff or somebody did this. It's a felony forgery. It's a felony to forge government documents for whatever reason. And, you know, then you got to ask yourself the question, why would the White House put a forged document out, you know, understanding that, well, maybe they just didn't think anybody would examine it, number one. And then when they did examine it, do we remember the blitzkrieg of, gee, you're a birther, you're this, you're that, you're racist, you're a bigot. Gee, does that sound familiar, like what they were getting away with for the longest time and people would buy into it? But it's incredible. And, you know, the fact that that's what they do. They just go after anybody who reports anything that's not in the narrative, like Mike was saying. And that so far they've gotten away with it. I'm hoping Trump will turn this around because he's not a real stupid man. And he said there was something to this birth certificate until they tried to pin him to the wall during the campaign. But I think he's just playing possum. What do you think, Mike?
You know, I agree with you. I think he was put in a position. Look, we have to be, you know, we have to call it for what it is. And one of his closest advisors, Stephen Bannon from Breitbart, is not a proponent of the birth certificate issue. they won't even report the issue at Breitbart. So that's an obstacle. However, you know, let me do this. I want to read a concluding paragraph to you, to your listeners, from Reed Hayes, a certified, you know, 40-year veteran of document examination. And this is what he gave me the day before we did our press conference. This is his conclusion. The evidence noted herein is clear and convincing proof that the Obama certificate of live birth posted on the White House website on April 27, 2011, is a fraudulently manufactured document. Evidence indicates that the certificate of live birth of Johanna Ani is one source utilized in the construction of the Obama certificate. The, quote, nail in the coffin, close quote, that proves the Obama certificate is inauthentic is the exact lineup of numerous entries on both the Obama certificate and the Ani certificate. Now, that's from a document examiner that is court-recognized expert, testifies in courtrooms. Law enforcement uses him. Attorneys use him. That's his conclusion.
Wow.
So you have to step back and you have to say, wait a minute. Somebody, federal authorities, really need to look into this. Really do. And I didn't even know this. Our last press conference, December 15th, Sharon Rondeau from the Post and Email just posted an article. Apparently, our local Fox affiliate stated that Fox National, that's Fox News National out of New York, was watching the press conference. Fox News gave it no mention.
None.
Another blackout. Now, when you're showing and demonstrating and reading from, you know, credentialed individuals' reports, that normally would be newsworthy. If this was Donald Trump's birth certificate, it would have been all over the airwaves. They'd still be talking about it. So
yeah.
it's a leftist agenda to cover up the truth and back the narrative. And that whole birther nonsense, that birther moniker that they laid on, the pejorative that they laid out there, was extremely effective. Because news media did not want to be labeled birthers. It was a very effective tactic, and it worked. We have to see if it continues to work.
Well, I guess we'll see, because it's right out of Alinsky's playbook. You know, first thing you got to do is you got to discredit your enemy and, you know, make fun of them and make them irrelevant through the process of the name calling and all that goes with it in the mainstream media. And like you say, I think they have been very effective. They've won so far on this game. But why can't we get this in front of a grand jury? Or, gosh darn, why don't we get it in front of a Jeff Sessions? I wonder if these guys have the political stones to take it on.
Well, that's something, like I said, we're going to give them a little while to get acclimated, and we're going to see what happens. It's not something that Sheriff Arpaio or I are going to lay down on. It's, you know, you have to realize you're working with other people and other people's agendas. So it's going to be, you know, something that we're going to push for, and we'll just have to see what the results are.
Yeah.
Well, to me, there's some conclusions that you can draw, and they are conclusions, but I think that they would be very sound conclusions watching the videos and the way that you guys are able to kind of take apart the document. You can see where the different cut and pastes occurred and things like that. It was essentially used to cover up a blank document. Would not reason stand that if they were just attempting to hide certain aspects or certain information of his certificate of live birth, they would have just cut and pasted over those instances they were trying to change the information instead of drafting an entire new document, which would kind of lead you to conclude that there was never an original document to repair in the first place, correct?
I would wholeheartedly agree with that assessment. If you go back into the narrative of this, going back into 2009, the then-director, Facchino, tries to say that she saw Obama's original birth certificate in the bound volume in the file room, the vault at the Department of Health in Hawaii. Then the incoming governor, Neil Abercrombie, who wants to get to the bottom of the controversy, pledges to locate the document. Well, he can't find it. It's no longer in a bound volume. Then he goes on for a couple months, and then he says that they found some kind of document in the state archives, half typed, half written, which, by the way, that has never seen the light of day. But it's evident at that point there is nothing in a bound document, in a bound volume. So who's lying? Did Facchino lie when she said that she saw it in the bound volume and it was right there for everyone to see? Or is Abercrombie lying when he can't find it? Well, I don't think Abercrombie is lying that he couldn't find it, because he couldn't find it.
Yeah, it
doesn't exist.
So
there's some collusion going on there with the Department of Health in Hawaii.
So either
the narrative doesn't work either.
So either they lied about it, or it was removed for some reason.
Well, and here's the other thing. When you go into Hawaii statutes, this starts to get very complicated. But there are different ways to amend a statute. There may have well been a representation of a birth at some point, but it doesn't mean it happened in Hawaii, and it doesn't mean it happened in Kapalani. Kapalani medical centers to this day will not concede that he was born there, or will not concede that he wasn't born there. They won't say it. They won't state it. They just don't. They hide behind HIPAA laws, which really I don't believe apply in this situation. But they will not confirm or deny that he was born in the hospital. And the reason for that is because he wasn't.
Well,
I think that's going to end up, if they look into this, I think a lot of dominoes are going to fall.
Well, back in the day, it was my understanding that you could, have a child in another country, fly to Hawaii, and then have it posted in the paper there with so that everybody could collect. Basically, did it to collect welfare benefits, and through the process of not really having a birth in Hawaii, but it would be posted without any verification in the paper. And O'Reilly did a little story on that, saying the proof was that it was posted in the paper. Case closed. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we know for a fact that Bill O'Reilly was saying that, and he said that he researched them, and then he had to walk that back that he didn't. And you're right. You don't even have to fly in. It could be a representation made by any adult that has knowledge of the event. And actually, it goes a little deeper. If you can prove, and nobody knows what this proof is because it's subjective, if you can prove that the parents were residents of Hawaii, not citizens, residents paying taxes for 1 year prior to the birth, that child is going to be deemed born in Hawaii. That's ludicrous. It circumvents all our immigration laws. It circumvents all the statutes that the federal authorities have in place to handle situations like this. I mean, it's insane what they are able to do over there.
Kind of like sanctuary
cities
these days.
So that's why I'm saying there could have been some type of document, but obviously it didn't say what it needed to say.
Well, it's kind of like the sanctuary cities these days. You know, we'll just thumb our nose at all federal law. That, you know, the one of the few times that, you know, I agree that the feds have that enumerated power, and then now the sanctuary cities are just going to thumb their nose at it. And it's kind of similar. But regardless of that, another Bill O'Reilly clip that I pulled up and had on there was, he said, you know, it was on the Social Security. He said that his Social Security is from Connecticut. And that the reason that he had a Social Security from Connecticut, it made perfect sense, because that his father spent some time in Connecticut, you know, the guy from Kenya. And, you know, that's all baloney too, isn't it?
As far as the Social Security number is concerned, we did not have authority to look into that.
I see.
So it was never proffered here, so we didn't look into it. What I can tell you is a bunch of bunk is his Selective Service Registration Card.
I see.
That document we proved back in 2012 was fraudulently created. So we know that his Selective Service Card wasn't created back in 1980, I believe it was, when he had to go in and register. We also know for a fact that he was attending protests that were telling people that were coming over to this country on visas not to sign up for Selective Service.
Hmm.
So it's ludicrous to think that he would be a proponent of not signing up, but then he himself would go sign up. That doesn't make any sense.
Why would he then forge it? Is there some kind of requirement or something?
There's a requirement to hold office.
I see.
You have to have registered for Selective Service at the appropriate time, or you cannot hold federal office.
Wow.
So he had a big incentive.
Wow.
Yeah.
To do that.
Wow, it's just amazing.
And when we were pursuing that, Selective Service changed their standard operating procedures and basically came and said that they would not cooperate with any local law enforcement investigations, only federal investigations.
Well, that
so they shut the door on us when we started pursuing it.
Well, and that leaves the door open, though, now, because Trump could, with a little bit of pressure, I'm sure we'll probably do an investigation here on this this whole thing. And then, you know, down the road, like you say, 90 days or whatever, let these guys get settled. I personally cannot let this go just because it's just like ignoring a complete breakdown of the law and of the press and the whole nine. I mean, how can you just ignore it and walk away and pretend it's not happening?
Well, you can't. And if you take Mr. Obama's words himself from an ideological perspective, he was given an interview just recently before he left office on how illegals could vote in our election.
Right.
He called them citizens. Well, you're not a citizen of the United States. And he went one step further. He said the only thing that stands in the way of you and citizenship is a piece of paper. What are you talking about, a birth certificate? What do you mean a piece of paper? It just shows the mindset. He doesn't believe these constitutional guarantees of the safety of this country to hold that office are applicable to him, because he thinks everyone is a citizen of the world.
Right.
That's how he thinks.
Well, and the arrogance is there, absolutely, with absolute no respect for the rule of law that the Constitution provides us. And, this blending of the borders and the UN and all this stuff. I mean, you got California trying to, you know, they're putting together a referendum, or not a referendum, but a ballot initiative to secede from the Union. And, you got Eric Holder involved coming over on that. They're trying to. And
probably Obama, because he's moving here to California.
It's like, who are these guys? You know, and you know, if you follow the trail here, let's see, the birth certificates for it, selective services for it. These guys lied about everything. I can't think of one instance during this whole 8 years where they've actually done something good for America that didn't have a hidden agenda behind it.
Or told the truth about anything.
I know. So where are we going here? I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, I don't know.
Well, it's the agenda. It's the agenda. It's to tear down America. You can see it over the last 8 years. You can see any kind of protection that we had for our sovereignty, any way they could take it away, they were. They control the media. I mean, this is how you take over countries from within. This was a coup from within. It's pretty evident.
I would think so. I don't see how you can come to any other conclusion. There's too many things and signposts that point to this exact thing, unless you're so screwed up that you're marching in a women's march in Washington, D.C., dressed up as a vagina.
Let's not go there again. Hey, Mike, we do have a caller on the line that has a question for you. We've got Billy Bob from Palisadro. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey, good morning. How are you patriots doing?
We are doing good.
The fun never stops.
You have a question for our guest?
I've got a statement and then a question for your guest. What I've been hearing, and again, I've been following this birther thing, and I want to compliment your guest on all the hard work and effort he's put into this. But isn't there a lawsuit or something that can be filed if you have this evidence, and can you somehow get it adjudicated?
There were a number of lawsuits filed as we were doing this, and they got shut down in every avenue in state and federal courts. We don't believe that's the way to try to go about this, because really what has to happen, a lot of those lawsuits, they were throwing everything in there, everything, the birth certificate, the selective service, the social security number. And here was the problem. What really needed to be on trial was the document. And in all those lawsuits, when they were being defended, which is something that makes no sense to even defend, you just walk in with the real certificate and it's case closed, they never did that. They never brought the document in because they could not put the document out front. So I don't believe that the way those lawsuits were constructed, a lot of them were ballot challenges, really targeted this for what it, you know, needed to be. And after you start going through venues in different courts, you know, there's case laws and precedents now that get set. And it makes it very difficult to go further in that type of environment. We believe the best thing to do is do a congressional investigation. If they can do it on, you know, underinflated footballs and steroids in baseball, you can do one on this. And then from that point in time, they could take a look at this evidence and they can refer it to the DOJ. It'd be really easy to do. This would take no time. This would take a week.
Yeah, I sure hope it happens.
It should be there.
Yeah, I sure hope it happens. I mean, there's got to be some truth and justice coming here sooner or later. I mean, I just can't see it not happening. And, you know, with Trump going in the way he's been fired up and actually advocating for the American people instead of this world governing body that wants to take over our lives, I think that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Let's just hope it's not a train.
Well, I hope so. And look, I agree with you. You cannot let something like this stand. If they do this once, they will do it again and again. And there are a lot of bad actors out there.
Yeah, you're most correct in that. And again, my only concern is that we pin him to the and kick him out to the oak tree and string him up. And at that point, we strip him of all his retirement and all the things that most presidents get. I mean, this guy is a crook. He's been a crook. He's a communist Muslim, and that's just the way it is, and we've got to pin him to the tree. So anyway, thanks. Bye.
All right, thanks,
Billy.
All right,
thanks for calling in.
I appreciate your call. So, wow, I'm not sure where else we can go from here at this point, and, you know, until we start seeing more things developing on the horizon.
Well, yeah, give him some time, like he says.
I think it's a very good point that if this isn't exposed, if this isn't brought to justice, if this isn't dealt with, not only is it a statement on the last 8 years that we went through, but it will happen again. They were going to try and do it with Ted Cruz.
Well, it sets the precedent of, you know, and what is the definition? I mean, I've done some extensive research on the definition of a natural-born citizen and it's the president is the only one that has to meet that criteria according to the Constitution, is both parents, according to Vattel's Law of Nations, have to be American citizens. And because they didn't want to have any foreign allegiances because the guy was going to be in charge of the army. I mean, it seems really clear and simple to me, and I don't think any of that's changed. But by his own admission, you know, his father was a Kenyan national. We're not even sure of that, if this birth certificate. So where is this guy's allegiance?
I don't believe it was even called Kenya at the time, was it?
I mean, we know that Saudi Arabia has been, weighed down deep in our business for a lot of things. You know, paying off the Clintons and, all this, looking at what Obama bowing before the Saudis. And I don't know if that's what's going on here, but all I'm saying is that if we want to have a president who's going to be an American with allegiance to the American people, he can't have a foreign alliance going through his father's lineage. Am I out of whack here?
No, that's the way I interpret it over history. And let me show you the hypocrisy. Senate Resolution 511, which goes back to John McCain when he was running, Congress, in their infinite wisdom, had to hold hearings to determine if John McCain was eligible to be president because of the location of his birth. He was born in the Panama Canal while his father, I believe, was in service to the United States military.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They had to determine if he was born in a military institution, in a base, in order for him to qualify. So don't tell me that the place of birth isn't understood and of paramount importance. Because if you had to pass a resolution for McCain to determine if he was eligible, you certainly understand the definition of what a natural-born citizen is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
why the only exclusion the Constitution provides for is when you're in service to the government, and if you're born abroad, you're still considered natural-born.
As long as both parents are American citizens.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And going back into when the Constitution was drafted, a historian of the 1700s, David Ramsey, he makes it really clear, and it's very easy to find, that citizenship was conferred from the father.
Right.
The lineage of the father. It wasn't until statutory regulation in the 1920s, I believe, or early 30s, where by statute they now said the mother can transfer or confer citizenship to her offspring. But that's statutory. Statutory regulations never supersede the Constitution.
Well,
so everybody knew that that happened. And one step further, if back in the 1700s at the drafting of the Constitution and beyond into the 1800s, if that American citizen husband married a woman from abroad, from another nation, she automatically got U.S. citizenship because of her husband's status once they were married. It always stems from the father. So you had a strikeout with Obama's purported father, and I say purported because without a certificate, there's no evidence who anybody is. So you had a strikeout there on the lineage part. You also had a strikeout if he wasn't born on American soil.
Well,
I think those are the plausible, you know, motives for doing what was done.
I think another motive that has come up is the Frank Marshall Davis theory, because, you know, they're saying a lot of, and again, we don't know how the facts on this one exactly, other than that, you know, he doesn't look at all like his Kenyan father, but he looks a lot like Frank Marshall Davis, who was a known communist sympathizer, and this whole elaborate scheme might have been to cover up his relationship with Frank Marshall Davis, because if everybody knew, and it was reported widely that his father was a communist, who was, you know, in association with Alinsky and all that goes with it, that would have been a hard thing to sell to the American people on getting this guy into the presidency.
I've heard those theories. I know Joel Gilbert personally, and I don't have evidence. I need evidence in my business.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of circumstantial stuff, but it doesn't carry the weight. You need direct evidence. And that's quite plausible. It's quite plausible that his father was somebody else. I mean, my God, I can show you side-by-side pictures of Malcolm X or the founder of Sabood, a cult that we know Stanley Ann Dunham was part of.
Yeah.
That, my God, it looks like Obama.
Yeah, I've seen that picture, too. It's incredible.
I can make those correlations as well. But it's going to be something. It's something to cover up somewhere along the line that would have been a disqualifier, whether legally or in the minds of the public. It's going to be something. There's some reason this was done.
I've got a couple of questions, and one that's relative to what we're talking about right now is there any direct evidence that Barack Obama's mother was extremely promiscuous within the black communist movement?
I don't have any direct evidence that suggests that.
Okay.
I just don't. And you know, I want to be really careful here, because this is something that an allegation that you want to be careful before you make an allegation like that.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have any direct evidence of that. I have forensic sources that tell me that the woman that was in those pictures is not the same woman. So I don't know if there's any truth to that whatsoever.
Okay, and then my second question is have you had any discussion or any thought on if this is discovered to be a false document, which it's a false document, and what are the repercussions of that? Does that really go and invalidate the last 8 years and everything Obama does, and what kind of constitutional crisis does that create?
You know, I've had preliminary discussions, and you get them all over the map. I think some of the issue would be, obviously, executive orders would be done with, and they're getting done with now, so that doesn't matter. But going back, there were a lot of things that were voted on by Congress. Those things would probably stand, because the fact that they were voted on, they were debated. They would probably stand. As to what type of constitutional crisis, to be honest with you, I think this is the concerted effort of both the left and the right not to address this issue, because they just don't know the ramifications. They don't know how deep this would go. They don't know what would really happen.
Well, I think the executive orders are going to be unwound fairly expeditiously here pretty soon anyway. So that's going to be a non sequitur.
Well, yeah, that's already happening. But with that, we need to go to another break, Mike. And we will pick it up on the other side. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Back got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head, I was still in the baggage line. Concrete cars with their own prison bars, like this life I'm living in. But the plane brought me farther, I'm surrounded by water, and I'm not going back again. I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Adios and bye, Uncle Neil. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. And if it weren't for tequila and pretty senoritas, I'd have no reason to stay. Adios and bye, Uncle Neil. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. Gonna lay in the hot sun and roll a big fat one and grab my guitar and play.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments, and don't forget to add your favorite veggies. And if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at OrchardNutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
There's a kind of hush all over the world. Tonight, all over the world, you can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean, just the two of us and nobody else in sight. There's nobody else, and I'm feeling good, just holding you tight. So listen very carefully, closer now, and you will see what I mean. It isn't a dream. The only sound that you will hear is when I whisper.
Free Fire Media. Yeah, there's a kind of hush all over the world. All right. Listen, we've had Mike Zullo on with us today, and it's been a great program as far as information and, you know, not let this thing go. Any last thoughts for our listeners, Mike?
Well, I would just say stay hopeful, stay tuned, because I believe to propel this forward, we're going to have to cultivate a national movement for a push. Whether that be a White House petition to start off with or something along those lines. But stay tuned and stay hopeful, and let's just pray that we get to the truth.
All right, very good. We appreciate you coming on, Mike. You know, you are very interesting, and you know your material and stuff, and you know we're glad to, you know, be on the same team with you, because you're a great American.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
All right.
Not a
very
problem.
Good.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you for all the work you guys did.
Bye. Yeah, they did a lot of work and still doing a lot of work. That's for sure.
And, you know, I think he's right. Give it a little time. Give the nation a little time to catch their breath.
Yep.
Get back to business. And there's a great many people that are awake today and this morning that were not.
That are being.
That's true.
It's exactly right, because the shock has, you know, through the election, the fact that the mainstream media lies, blacks out, distorts on a regular basis has come home to roost finally.
And I don't think that they realized what Trump was going to do, if he was going to do anything, you know. Oh, yeah, like so many of them, all the campaign promises, and then they don't do anything. This is a little bit different.
I think out of all of the people that I heard speak and talk about Trump, the one that nailed it dead on was Michael Moore. When he said that
it's a big FU.
Yeah, it's a giant FU, and Trump is going to be the human hand grenade that the American people lob into the system.
That's what it needs to happen. Yeah. I mean, you know, and they've done more to discredit this guy than any other person in the history of American politics for a reason. And if you don't get that, you don't get who the enemies are.
Well,
because the enemy
got him on the run.
Yeah, well, it's starting, but the battle is still coming. Anyway, let's get on to a couple of news stories. I think we've got another guest at the top of the hour, Greg Cheadle, and he's going to tell us about Washington and the swamp. And but first, I want to talk about this. This comes from Fox News and FoxNews.com food and drink section. First GMO apples will hit U.S. shelves next month. Okay, this was published on January 24th, 2017. A brave new world in apples arrives in Midwestern grocery stores in February. The Canadian company of Okanagan will be selling Arctic apples.
That's Okanagan.
Okanagan. Thank you very much. Okanagan. Thank you.
It's Indian.
It's all, yeah, it's all Greek to me. These apples have been genetically modified to resist browning, reports the CBC. To show off the apple's talents, the Arctics will be sold pre-sliced in clear pouches, though they will not be marked as GMO products. Wow, imagine that.
Yeah.
Don't we have a local guy that said something about we don't care if they're labeled?
Surprise, surprise.
Now, the only way customers will know that is that if they scan the product code or if the yet unnamed stores choose to publicize the GMO angle. Now, that's really going to happen now, right? They're going to tell everybody, oh, yeah, these are all GMO apples, you know. Hey,
eat
them at your own risk.
You start glowing. Well, it's not our fault.
Because there's been a huge move, if you notice, in all the stores to head towards organic and away from GMOs because, you know, being linked to cancer or just not trust, or we can just trust Monsanto, and those guys have got our best interest in mind, that you're usually the developers of a lot of this GMO stuff. You know, yeah, they we can put our faith in them, right?
No.
Pregnant pause there.
No.
Yeah. These guys are, you know, they don't want the product demonized by putting a big GMO sticker on it. The chief of the company, Neil Carter, says, yeah, we don't want to demonize. We don't want anybody to know what they're eating because that would demonize our product.
We're worried that the public might have an issue with our Frankenapple.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frankenapple.
Once again, if we tell them the truth, then what are they going to do?
You know, it's like eating an apple. And so.
If we told them the truth, there's no way they'd ever buy this.
It's alive. Exactly. It's alive. No. Yeah. So the first run will be small. There'll be a total of 540-pound boxes will be split among 10 stores, reports the Capital Press. So far, the USDA has approved 3 varieties. There's Golden Delicious, Granny Smith, and Fuji. But the company expects to be adding quite a bit more to their lineup of apples. So,
well, there's a quick way, too, for people out there. If you look at the codes on your food, especially fruit, if it starts with 9, it's usually okay to eat. But you still got to watch it.
I'm having organic apples, period. And that's where I'm headed.
How about we just trash can NAFTA? And protect American apples. They're non-GMO.
Mm.
An idea.
Oh, you racist.
Yeah, but we got to find those because we got, you know.
Protect.
A lot of people that's already, you know, taking care of that for us until we get Monsanto out of the picture.
Oh, is that the reason that we're finding in our imported pork and chicken and fish huge amounts of parasites and worms and
yeah.
all kinds of nummy stuff?
Yeah.
And don't know where it came from because it's not labeled.
Don't need to know that.
Let's eat some shrimp out of Cameron Bay, one of the most polluted bays there is.
Well, when you start glowing, we'll let you know how it worked for you, you know?
I would probably take Fukushima fish over Cameron shrimp.
Can I get a side of that Fukushima tilapia?
I'll just start my radiation treatments early.
Yeah. Couple of glow oysters with that. And, oh, boy.
Yeah. I need some Fukushima tuna to counteract the thyroid cancer that I'm getting from my GMO apples.
Yeah, could I get a side of iodine?
I was going to say.
A side of iodine with that, Sigi. Oh, boy. Well, you know, just a word to the wise. I mean, I would be careful. So this comes from the Need to Know from Geoid Griffin, and I think this is kind of important, about the demonization of anybody who disagrees with the public narrative by the media.
Screw the media.
Yeah. You know, the news media this week primarily, talked. I mean, what did they do? The first step is to demonize. And what do they go after? They go after his wife. They go after his son. They go after, you know, all this stuff. Because, you know, you got to be careful here because what they're doing is, you know, and they even had the axiom of a political, of this warfare is, you know, to assassinate the president, you know, to blow up the White House. I mean, that's the stuff you kind of want to put out there for people. And,
But what you have to be careful of is that if they can brand you bad enough, demonize you enough, then they justify the fact that they can assassinate you, basically, you know, either politically, through the media, you know, whatever it happens to be. Now, if you remember, you know, let's go back to the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas. Because the leader of the religious group was known to have weapons and they were not registered, and the federal government and National Guard laid siege to their compound and killed their leader along with, 82 of his congregation, including women and children. The public was not outraged at this because the media had published an endless barrage of reports of sexual abuse of the children on the compound. Reports that in later months were known to be without foundation.
Yeah.
But the public didn't know that at the time, and we all thought that the media was, hey, those are the purveyors of truth, the journalistic integrity that we need in America to keep America free.
And they didn't just kill those people. They massacred those people.
Yeah, they kind of did. They burned them alive. Yeah,
they massacred them.
So most people thought that it was a shame about the children being killed, but, you know, it was merely collateral damage from a justifiable law enforcement operation against very evil people.
They had no right to be there.
Is that interesting?
Yes.
So, if you want to understand what's going on from the left in America today, just think of the Branch Davidians. If the elites can sufficiently demonize Donald Trump and his supporters as racist or something equally repugnant, then violence against him personally or against his supporters, or perhaps even violence against the system itself, will be viewed as justifiable. Justified.
What about the Nazi Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge?
I was just going to say, yeah.
Which was complete nonsense. He was not a white supremacist, didn't have ties to white supremacy, any of that. But they used that narrative of Randy Weaver as a Nazi to justify shooting his 9-year-old son repeatedly in the back and using a federal sniper to execute his wife holding their infant.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying, and then look what's going on in California.
Let's talk about, you know, considering the one-year anniversary of the death of the murder of Lavoie Finicum. Let's look at the narrative behind the justification.
Yeah, because they were
that.
Just a bunch of rednecks token guns, you know, packing guns up there, looking for, you know, to start trouble with the federal government that was stealing all of their land and illegally controlling the mineral rights and other things. Yeah. And you got to be careful. Look what's going on in California. You know, we got the... new movement to secede from the union. Mm-hmm. And are they demonizing their opponents? I mean, why else would they secede from the union? What are they demonizing? Are they demonizing Trump? And, oh, my God, it's going to be Armageddon. And they're putting out all of this, propaganda to make sure that people – adhere to the rights of, you know, human beings, just like the Women's Rights March in Washington, D.C. They're going to take all our rights away. They're going to put us in little boxes and what?
It's nonsense.
It's total nonsense.
But it's the situation that they have to create. It's the
illusion
that they have to create. They have to create the boundaries of the situation. They have to create the crisis before they can respond to the crisis. It's right out of the leftist progressive playbook. Create a situation, create a crisis, and manipulate it to your own ends. And they're going to be way ahead of the game because they're the ones creating the situation in the first place.
And the California Attorney General's office has given the green light to begin circulating the petition to qualify CalExit. Independence vote for November 18th ballot.
CalExit is flying through the process.
Right. Gee, are they being helped along?
Yes.
They need 600,000 signatures in just 6 months in order to qualify for the ballot so that they can declare independence from the United States, reword the Constitution of California to say that we are no longer subordinate to the United States Constitution and start their own state, and everything's going to be great because now they will be the socialist workers' paradise. Mm-hmm. Only what they forgot was that along the way, everything's falling apart and the money's starting to run out.
They're going to lay the entire thing at the feet of the federal administration.
And it's all Trump's fault.
Never mind the fact that they have been bilking, lying, stealing for decades in the state of California. that they have absolutely driven us into bankruptcy and insolvency, they're going to lay it at the feet of the administration.
It's all Donald Trump's fault. He's been here 10 days, and he's already ruined the world.
Yep.
Yeah, and so we have to secede from the union
and you
from
have
our
to
own country.
At the people that are driving this narrative. We have the legislature that's giving tacit approval. They're going through the bureaucratic hoops at the state agencies with ease. They're coasting through it. That takes other people months and sometimes years to go through this process.
Yeah, we don't want any document that's the supreme law of the land that tells us we're all free and equal and things like that. What we want is we want the government controlling everything because they have our best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm. And then you bring in racist groups like La Raza, La Familia Nuestra that are absolutely involved in this movement as reported and evidenced by people like Katie Grimes, the New York Times, Breitbart, that have been reporting on these different things and who's involved here. You know, the lead speaker for CalExit, Marcus Ruiz Evans himself, is a member of La Raza and has been a key liaison between the state of California and the federal government for over a decade. He's written policy papers. He's deeply embedded in government, both federally and on the state side of it. And the guy's a member of La Raza.
So what do they have to gain? Their own country. And, oh, gosh, they need to declare their independence from the United States because they're being so oppressed. Wait a minute. It's kind of like being in Detroit and saying, I'm oppressed in Detroit from the federal government, even though everybody who's controlling me is a liberal Democrat on the in charge of all the utilities, garbage, water, you know, taxes. Wow.
Yeah, it's insane.
It is totally insane. But, you know, that's what happens when you are, you know, what's the old Thomas Jefferson quote? You know, if you wish to be free and ignorant, you shall be neither.
Yeah.
And that, sort of paraphrasing that, you're not going to be free, but you're still going to be ignorant, you know.
Well, the fact that the mainstream media is picking up the CalExit narrative and promoting it in a positive light should be warning bell enough. That's your canary in the coal mine right there, the fact that the mainstream media is picking the story up and putting it out there and helping to drive the narrative and helping to drive support for it.
And meanwhile, the state of Jefferson wants to remain in the Union of the United States and become another state, so we have representation issues. But we're just a bunch of racist hicks, you know, that believe in the Tea Party and the Constitution and stuff. And so, you know, we don't believe in free cheese and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. You know, it just cracks me up. They think that the answer, the progressives, is to give more control to the government. That's why they're poor in the first place. That's why the economy's tanking in the first place. You've got corruption and graft, and all this leads eventually to complete government control. But we're going to trust the only document that says that we should all be free, and the government is working for us. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. You know, and so. You know, and
well, that's like what got me about Bernie Sanders is, and I understand why Bernie Sanders energized and pumped up a lot of people, especially young people that don't know better, because he nailed so many things right. Yes, the banking institutions are corrupt. Yes, the big corporations are screwing us. Yes, the politicians are crooked. Yes, they're paid off. They're bought off. And everybody's going, yeah, Bernie, right on. And then he turns around and his solution is, we should be more like Venezuela. And it's like, holy crap, did you just get hit in the head?
Yeah, let's be more like Venezuela, where we're chasing down rats in the street to eat something because our currency has been so devalued because of the government overspending and borrowing and printing and counterfeiting money because we don't have anything backing our currency, and so that we can all go poverty because it costs, you know, $1 trillion to buy, you know, a popcorn ball, and that's the answer, isn't it?
Well, that's what always confused me about Bernie Sanders. How could a guy that obviously understood the issues, the problems, be so far off and 180 on the solution? Can you be that obtuse?
It's really simple. It's called, I've got several houses in the Hamptons.
No.
Every time I go and turn over and betray my constituents, I just go to the other people with the money, and they buy me a house.
You mean he's in – well, no, that's not even capitalism. That's just cronyism. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So everything about Bernie was fake.
Bernie's a fake.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we've got a debate coming up here.
Well,
soon.
We're at the top of the hour as well. So we'll have to pick this up on the other side.
Star Wars.
This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Star Wars. Talking about Star Wars. Remember that Bill Murray one?
Have you seen the new one yet?
KCNR Shasta Redding.
I am Michael Harrington. A statement from the Department of Homeland Security today says relatively few travelers were affected by a federal judge's emergency order last night to temporarily bar the U.S. from deporting people from nations subject to President Trump's travel ban. White House spokesman Sean Spicer.
109 people who are all being processed through the system to make sure that they, when they've gone out of the country, gone somewhere that is one of those seven countries, and coming back, that they've done so and not tried to go there and do anything that would cause our nation harm.
He was a guest on ABC TV's This Week program. DHS says the court ruling will not affect the overall implementation of the White House order. One U.S. serviceman killed, three injured in a pre-dawn raid on an al-Qaeda base in Yemen this morning, 14 terrorists killed, information seized, and apparently some prisoners taken.
The tribal leaders told the Associated Press that the Americans were looking for a prominent local al-Qaeda leader named Qasem al-Rimi. They added that the American forces captured and left with at least two people, but their identities were unknown at this point.
Correspondent Ashraf Khalil, President Trump has released a statement saying all Americans are saddened by the news of the soldier's death. An international human rights group is sounding an alarm over reports from children alleging they were tortured after being detained by Iraq's Kurdistan regional government on suspicion they have connections to ISIS. Human Rights Watch estimates more than 180 boys under the age of 18 are currently being held. Roger Federer has won his 18th Grand Slam tennis title, beating his nemesis Rafael Nadal this morning in five sets as he takes the Australian Open. It's the 35-year-old Federer's first major title since 2012 at Wimbledon. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I promise to have and to hold from this day forward.
At SelectQuote, we know your promise is your commitment to always be there for them, even if you're not.
I promise to always protect you, no matter what.
Since 1985, SelectQuote has been helping people keep their promises. Our life insurance advisors shop many highly rated insurers to get you the best rates. A $500,000 term life policy could cost less than $19 a month. Just visit the new SelectQuote.com to get free quotes in minutes.
Okay, I'm really nervous. Try not to freak out, okay?
I won't, I promise. Now check the mirrors, then slowly back up.
Visit SelectQuote.com to get started.
Visit SelectQuote.com to get started or call 1-800-636-9292. That's 1-800-636-9292.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Example rate based on a 10-year policy for a 35-year-old male and excellent health. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Environmental groups are taking the Tennessee Valley Authority to trial over whether waste ash from its aging coal-fired power plant near Nashville polluted the Cumberland River in violation of the Clean Water Act. In a bench trial opening tomorrow in Nashville Federal Court, the Tennessee Clean Water Network and Tennessee Scenic Rivers Association targets the TVA's storage of coal ash, which is waste from burning coal for energy. The groups say ash storage ponds at Gallatin Fossil Plant have been illegally fouling the river for 5 years, and the state regulators haven't properly addressed the problem. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the American embassy in Israel should be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Netanyahu's comments today at his weekly cabinet meeting appear aimed at countering reports that Israel was concerned about the fallout from such a move, which has been promised by Donald Trump. Palestinians want the West Bank and East Jerusalem areas captured by Israel in 1967. News and analysis at townhall.com. A daughter of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is criticizing former President Obama for not granting her father early release.
In an emotional letter, 20-year-old Amy Blagojevich calls Mr. Obama spineless for not commuting her father's sentence. Blagojevich's wife, Patty, posted the letter on her Facebook page. Blagojevich is in the fourth year of a 14-year sentence on corruption convictions, including for trying to sell Mr. Obama's U.S. Senate seat after he became president. The ex-governor petitioned Mr. Obama for a commutation, and both Amy and her sister wrote letters asking Mr. Obama to act. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, January the 29th, and a birthday for a number of notable people, including actor Tom Selleck, who is 72 years old. Oprah Winfrey turned 63 years old today. Olympic gold medal diver Greg Louganis, 57. House Speaker Paul Ryan is 47 today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Must be Budget Blinds, because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
Colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else. Brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more, to transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out. We'll bring all sorts of different samples. We'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blinds, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered in.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The seeds of corruption are already in full bloom in our country. We see this by the extreme violence and morally bankrupt behavior demonstrated by people from every age group and walk of life. Sadly, this behavior is not something you catch, but it is learned. It's being taught in our colleges, evangelized through TV and movies, and substantiated by the media. Your best protection from this vile corruption is having a living relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good stuff, Maynard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mighty, mighty Boss Stones. The impression that I get, just in
White
case you're wondering.
Are coming back.
Yeah, I like those. They look like high waters with White Sox. Hey,
I love it.
Perfect.
Yeah, you got kind of the weird blend of swing and mod with an electric guitar there. It's pretty eclectic.
It is. It's interesting, you know. And then you look, it says the Mighty Boss Stones. I click on it this morning. I'm thinking it's going to be something like Lawrence Welk or something, you know.
I'm telling you, you got to look into the new one I'm in, Thrashgrass, man.
Thrashgrass.
Thrash metal and bluegrass. It's awesome.
Thrash metal and bluegrass. So you bang your head against the tree? What?
I don't know, but you can sure as hell drink whiskey to it
while you're wearing your white socks.
And you gotta roll your jeans up at the same time with those white socks.
See, look.
No.
If you want to be in the band, you need to play a fiddle, okay?
All right. Lessons start tomorrow.
We have our guest with us here, Gregory Cheadle, who ran for Congress against our esteemed Doug LaMalfa. And,
yes.
Well, you know how I feel. But, you know, he went to Washington this last week or so ago to the inauguration. And so we wanted to get a report. Next time we'll have to give him a microphone and a camera.
Yeah.
And that would be awesome.
Why didn't you guys do that?
We will, because then it would be like on the scene with Greg Cheadle.
Yeah. I could be like everyone else down there.
He's at the women's march being called a racist.
That would be nice.
Oh, I would pay money to watch that.
But you have to wear a Donald Trump mask while you do that.
I will.
Oh, that's good stuff there.
Then they'll be surprised when they take my clothes off.
they'll be like, no, no, it can't be.
Oh, man.
He's black.
Then I'll get the black vote again.
He's our worst nightmare, a conservative black man.
Oh, man.
Boy. You know, you can't make that up.
You can't.
No. Would that be cool? You know, all you have to do is kind of get the motions of Trump's hand movements and stuff. Yeah. It'll be disastrous.
Yeah. It's huge. It's huge.
Very not fair. Just very not fair.
We have an underlying problem, though. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right,
boy.
All right,
let's get serious.
Serious here, right now. Right.
Tell me about the inauguration. I mean, that was history in the making. History was made.
It was.
You were there.
I was there.
How awesome is that?
It's beyond awesome. You really can't express it in words what it's like to be there. You know, the whole time I was there was like being in a dream. Is this really real?
CNN reported there was only like 4 or 5 people in the mall.
Well, that was 2 weeks before.
Yeah, that was the grounds crew.
Yeah. But, I mean, when I heard that, I'm like, you've got to be kidding. They're doing nothing more than manipulating the news. And because when I was there, I looked back, and there was nothing but a sea of people.
Right.
Now, how they come up with this little number is beyond me, you know.
And why, it's like, I sort of heard the press secretary, it was really good. He said it was the most watched, event in the history of all inaugurations. And they're going, how do you prove that? Well, let's see. If you go to Facebook and then to Instagram and Twitter
and YouTube
and YouTube,
there was 8 different channels on YouTube that were running the inauguration live.
Yeah, so it was just the other guy's like stunned. I got nothing to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was even an African TV crew there. There were. I mean,
I hate to say it.
It was only 2 of them.
From Africa?
From Africa.
Okay,
seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
seriously, there were 2 of them.
They weren't like from Kenya or anything. Were
probably. Or Ethiopia. No, they look more like Kenyans.
Kenyans, huh? Interesting. So the Kenyans are covering the inauguration.
Yeah.
What a trip.
Yeah. It was.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, that's when they did their numbers. They did this fake picture, which was obviously fake to anybody that watched the inauguration. Then they completely cut out all of the social media numbers of where there was your largest bulk of viewers was actually on social media this time. And then they completely discounted the tens of thousands of people that couldn't even make it to the mall because of the
Yeah, they couldn't even get them all in because they had to stop them because of the barriers, I guess. The mall was getting too full.
Okay.
Is what I heard. Now, again, I mean, I don't believe anything I hear in the news anymore, period, anyway.
Because I was watching videos and pictures of people climbing trees just to be able to see because they couldn't get in.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the mall barriers, barricades and all that, but there were barricades all over the place.
Right.
You know.
Right. So I guess they were limiting the people that could actually come into
it. I mean, it was huge. I mean, a whole lot of people were there. I mean, just
where like were you?
Well, initially I didn't bring it with me. I have an orange ticket.
Okay.
So I was on the eastern side in the back. And I was content to be there. I got there like maybe what, 8 o'clock or something like that in the morning. The gates open at 6.
So when you say in the back, like you were the Washington Monument in the back?
No, not that far back.
Okay.
The ticketed portion.
Right down by the bottom.
Yeah.
In front of the water, in front of the fountain.
Yeah, I was in front of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Way in front of that.
Okay. So you're pretty close.
No, that wasn't close.
That wasn't even close.
For me, that wasn't close. And so what happened is that I was there for maybe an hour, hour and a half, and then literally people in front of me started moving. And so I just kept moving and moving and moving. I didn't stop. And I got all the way up to the front and hung out with my mafia buddies from New York.
Nice.
Nice.
Hey, yo, you like Trump?
Hey, Guido.
Or what?
Guido.
Like, hey, come over here.
Hey, get Greg over here, Grant.
Gumba.
Get Greg. And help the brother out. And so I hung out with them, and not a single security or police officer messed with us.
Nice.
And so I was up front. And
do you know what I have a vision of right now?
What's that?
You know those old pictures, like you see the Lincoln inauguration, and then they'll find like John Wilkes Booth out there and have his head circled somewhere?
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see with you. I mean, not the John Wilkes Booth thing, but
you want me killed, in other words.
No. No, I want to see a historic picture with a circle. There's Greg Cheadle, my buddy.
Oh, okay.
You know, and would that be cool?
That would be cool.
That would be super cool.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I was up front. The only group in front of me was the...
Well, you're like right under him.
That's what I was telling you. Mm. I'm with Guido, man.
You could hit him with an orange. probably only once.
Yeah. You better believe it, man. Yeah.
Throw your shoe at him.
That is awesome picture. We should post that on the...
Well, I'm showing it tomorrow. Yeah, when I'm speaking tomorrow, I'll show it.
We'll share it on my Facebook or share it on the Sovereign Minds.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the only groups in front of me were congressional guests and diplomatic guests. That's how close I was.
Wow.
I mean, and right next to me were the media. So that shows you how close I was.
So could you see the looks on the Clintons' faces and
could you actually sense the disturbance in the force?
Well, where I was positioned, you're looking up, and as you look up, you can't see because of that angle. You can't see the people behind that area where he was sworn in. So I could see Melania. And
gee, that sucked.
her dress, I got to give it to her. Her dress was incredible.
I'm pretty sure she's kind of incredible looking too. You know, just saying.
I can't say much about that because you know me. And Clarence Thomas, I love his voice. If that guy went into music, he could replace Barry White. He's got this booming bass voice.
M5.
Yeah. I mean, booming. Can't get enough of your love.
That was almost like Fat Albert. What are you talking about?
I tried, man. That's why I'm in politics. I can't sing.
maybe they can get Clarence Thomas to sing the next decision of the court.
I sure.
That'll work.
Yeah. You're going to prison.
And hopefully we've got some good decisions coming out of that court soon.
I sure hope so. I'm so tired of this.
We need them.
Yeah.
Crap. Yeah. So we actually might have another Supreme Court justice on the court here pretty soon.
I think it's this week.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week is supposed to announce it.
Well, between the firings and the...
Oh, man.
You know.
This brother does not play. He's in there working.
I like it. Yeah, that guy's great. It's like, you know something? I said this from the beginning. Okay, who would you rather hire to fire everybody in Washington? Can you think of one person that could fire people better?
No. No.
Joseph Stalin.
Well, no. But then,
that's a different kind of fire. Yeah.
When they said fire in Russia,
it was a different thing.
It wasn't you're fired.
Oh, man. You guys are crazy today.
It's a different thing.
Huh? It's a different thing, you know, because you don't walk away from that one. You know, it's not like you get up off the floor.
And the problem would be...
You don't collect your pension.
And the problem would be...
Well, there is that. You know, I mean, all these guys need to be fired. I mean, I think Trump's the best thing since sliced bread. I don't think he can fix everything. And I don't, you know, but, you know, he's going to be managing a bankruptcy, in my opinion. Everybody thinks that it's going to keep taking off, and I hope it does. But I'll tell you what, there's no economy left. I don't care what anybody says. It's there's nothing there. So,
well, my question is, and my eyes are really on the Congress.
Right.
Okay, we're already seeing what Trump's up to. And my question is the Congress going to get in line with the will of the American people and play ball, or are we going to have to put up with the same rhino crap that we put up with for the last 2 years?
We need 4 more senators to get a 61 majority, and then we could do something.
I smell rhino more than anything else.
I think I do, too.
Is that your cologne you're wearing, or?
Rhino?
No. Rhino.
Oh, boy. I think I should have stayed home.
That's a great one, though. But we should we could do that. We could bottle up cologne and sell it to the Republican establishment.
We'll sell it to the voters. They would buy it.
Yeah. Rhino.
That's what they want.
Yeah. Rhino, the light overtones of corruption and BS.
When you can't see well enough during a charge.
Yeah. I mean.
Anyway, sorry.
No, no.
Because we know you're not a rhino. I mean, that was a joke, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you're one of the good guys. You are libertarian. I don't know. What you always tell us that you are a Abraham Lincoln Republican.
An 1856 Republican.
What does that mean?
1856, the white Republicans were lynched and killed along with the black slaves they were trying to free by by white Democrats.
See, I didn't know that. You never told me that before.
We have an update here real quick. It appears that the Washington legislature has filed a bill to split Washington State into 2 states.
Mm. Wow.
Eastern and Western Washington.
See, we can bypass this whole California frickin' sewer, I think. And head straight to the Capitol, and Trump will just sign an executive order, and we'll be like, we'll be like California.
Well, there is some to that where, you know, we want to do this by hook or by crook, by any means possible, but at the same time, we cannot lose our character as a moral and lawful people.
I agree. You got to exhaust all your legal remedies in order to get this thing done. And but at the same time, you know, it's going to get done. You know, it is going to get done. How do you feel about the state of Jefferson, Greg?
I'm not crazy about the name Jefferson, but, you know, I like the thought of having the state split. I mean,
why don't you like the Jefferson? Other than the George Jefferson references or something.
Jefferson's history with respect to blacks is nauseating to me.
I think that there's a both sides of that coin.
And that's why I say it the way I say it, because I'm for the movement.
Right.
1,000,000,000%.
Yeah.
Because when you have a state with 40 million people in it and you have one governor, no, come on. That's too many people for this person.
I like Jefferson because I think he was a brilliant man. I understand your reservations. I also think he was a very compassionate man for what happened back then, and I think it's been skewed a little bit. But we could disagree on that, and there's no problem with that.
I still love you, man. You're still my brother.
That's what
I'm
talking about. I mean, I don't care if
this is my brother, too.
Well, one of the favorite ones that I've heard.
Think of a better name.
One of my favorite ones that I've heard through the movement was take half of California, take half California or half of Oregon, and you've got Cal and gone. Cal gone, take me away.
Okay.
What?
You never
Cal
heard,
gone, take me away.
You never heard that commercial?
Cal gone, take me
away. Yeah, where you been?
Yeah, I'm from Calgon. Nanu, nanu.
Yeah, but you know, when you have 40 million people with one governor, it's like the president of California as opposed to the governor. And then you look at the representation. What Ted Gaines has, what, 11 counties up here that he has to represent?
I don't even know. Has anybody ever even seen Ted?
How do you do that?
You don't.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do as a representative when the counties that you represent are at odds with each other? When Siskiyou County and Placer County need two completely different things? I mean, how do you balance that?
I just have one question. Who's Ted Gaines?
He's that guy that was standing next to Brian Daly that one time.
I've never seen him. I thought it was kind of like a Bigfoot thing, you know, where Ted Gaines is in the building. And where'd he go?
Well, the thing about Ted that I found fascinating is that no campaigning whatsoever. Yeah. He comes in first.
I didn't even know who he was. They said Ted Gaines. I was like, yeah, huh, what?
Yeah, there were several of them that no campaigning whatsoever and just winning.
Kind of a lock.
Yeah, it's a little shameful.
It's shameful on our part. It's sick.
Yeah, so let's go back to Washington because I want to know about your trip. I really do. And so you got to the mall and you saw this inauguration. What did you do the rest of the time? Did you go to the Smithsonian?
No.
No, you didn't?
No. I mean, what you have to understand is my trip was planned with disaster in mind.
Disaster.
Because I'm thinking I'm going to get there. It's going to be a lot of protesting, a lot of protesters.
So you thought you were going to be with Hillary was going to be elected.
No, I thought I was going to get killed.
Oh.
You know how many black people stand out at a Trump anything?
Well, there is that.
You know, so I was apprehensive. I have to be honest with you.
Really? Because you thought that a lot of people were very racist?
Yeah, well, there's racism, and then there's also the political aspect.
Right.
You know, when you are supposed to be on the Democrat plantation and you're not, that raises a whole lot of anger by whites and blacks.
Yeah, the herd can get a little dangerous.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way, because I just look at you as a person. I don't look at you as black or white or anything. I really don't.
Really?
I really don't. I mean, okay. Obviously you're black. I can see that. I'm not stupid.
It's not that obvious now. Come on.
But when we have conversations, it's about our opinions. It's about what we think. It's about, you
right.
know, how we
and
evaluate
way,
stuff.
Yeah, that's
you know?
The way it should
so,
be.
So
yeah.
When you got there, how did the people, you know, receive you or
so did you like
did they
tackle you in Grand Central and you know steal your wallet what
no, evidently no. They kept pushing you forward to the stage.
Well, you know, when Trump looked at me and said I'm just kidding
I'd be up there going, you and me, brother.
Yeah. No, I mean, I mean being at that inauguration, for once, I never felt race was an issue.
That's awesome.
Good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You talk about people being one.
Right.
And he said it in his speech about when we're patriots or whatever, there is no room for whatever. But being at that crowd with all those hundreds of thousands of people, I have never felt the absence of race as I did on that particular day.
That's what we're
That's
supposed to be.
Cool.
I think that the race thing has been the politics of division for the last 40, 50 years minimum. And they've played it to the point where they've made a racial issue where I don't think there would have been one
right.
at all had we all been voting as Americans, voting on policy, looking at, you know, what's good for the country, not just, you know, whether I'm getting something free from the government or not, or not, you know, I mean, that whole thing should be evaluated based on what works in a free society.
Well, I agree. And the problem we have, especially as black folk, we vote as a block.
Right.
You know, we don't come out of
that's
that.
That's starting to change, though.
By,
well, okay. So
by
six,
getting worse?
So 6% more, whatever it is, voted for Trump.
Well, that's still inexcusable.
Well, it may be, but it's. I think, you know, hey, the cup's half full for me, all right?
Okay, well, I'll take it
somewhere.
So at least another six people voted for Trump. That's but, I mean, the reality is that, you know, there's this mindset that is written in stone, basically, that, you know, blacks refuse to get off the Democrat plantation. And that's got to stop. In order for us to enjoy this country, you know, we've got to start thinking as a people.
As a free people.
As a free people. Yes. That's it. We have to start thinking as a free people.
Absolutely. Because I don't want to be on the Republican plantation either. I don't want to be on the Democrat or the Republican plantation or the government plantation or anybody's plantation.
I hear you. Yeah.
I want to be free, and I want the government to serve me, not control me, not coerce me. I want it to be protecting my best interest.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Exactly. That's all I want. You know, Let me live my life and leave me the heck alone.
I just want equal protection under the law for everybody. Not, gee, I take from you to give to you so that you, you know, so I can control both sides of the equation. I want everybody to have the same equal opportunity and leave it up to the individuals to prosper without intervention, because I think that's what made us great in the first place.
Yeah.
And am I wrong in thinking that we would be better off instead of trying to create this atmosphere of not necessarily that we're all the same, but more celebrating our differences? Can we not take the fact that we're different and enjoy that about each other?
We know you're different.
Instead of trying to mash us into this homogenous mass of, you know, just
everybody being the same.
Let's take our differences
and
celebrate them and enjoy them.
But the left doesn't do that. The left says if you say anything different, they say we're for diversity, but if you tell us about your diversity that doesn't agree with us, then we hate you.
Yeah. That's close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get the Uncle Tom thing from your buddies?
All the time, man.
Yeah, so you're
my
you're,
middle
you're
name is Tom, so it works.
So you're a sellout to a lot of these guys in your own community.
Well, what they fail to understand is that they don't know their own history.
Right.
And as a consequence, whenever I have the opportunity to share that history with these people, I shouldn't say these people.
I know, because
that's a Ross Perot thing.
Yeah.
But
with the people that you know.
Yeah, black or white. Then all of a sudden, you know, people are like, oh, I understand now. But prior to that that spew of information, there's so much anger and hatred that you are called an Uncle Tom because of, again, that inculcation of the Democrat plantation.
Right.
That mentality is still there. The chains are still on the brains.
Because there is some security there. You know, there's a security.
There's false security
it's
there.
False.
But, I mean, because what has Obama done for black people?
What has he done for white people, for that matter?
Well, I mean, really, what has he done for black? You know, he's been in there for 8 years. Did he
made
ever,
it worse?
Yeah. Did he ever celebrate a black business? Did he ever celebrate a black university?
No, nothing.
You know, he spent more money in Africa than he did over in the black community over here.
Yeah.
So why in the world
he spent
am
more,
I?
He spent more money on his own vacations.
Yeah.
You know, than he did in the black community.
Yeah. I mean, so why in the world am I going to be celebrating this guy when he hasn't done any, when he's done worse for me than better for me? Yeah.
Well, instead of promoting, you know, ethics, morality, self-determination, work ethic.
Integrity.
He's promoted division. He's promoted dependence. And I think that just does such a disservice to the black community myself by saying – it's basically saying that you're inferior because you have to depend on the government.
And that's historically, that's the way it's been, that we were unable to be independent, that we were dependent. People still see that to this very
day. Well, and the white guys a lot of time buy into that same argument.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, and
both sides buy into
the stupid argument.
And so we have the status quo that keeps on and keeps on and keeps on.
I think the myth is starting to be shattered, and I think Trump will shatter it even more because the media has lost all credibility. And that is the big problem because they're the ones that have been this hatred trying to divide everybody. What's the gays against the straights, the blacks against the whites. I mean, I think Mattis said it really good when they asked him, you know, hey, what do you think about, you know, gay people fighting in combat? And he says, I don't really care what they do in the bedroom.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Can they fight? And that's kind of what we're going, I think. We're going to the point is if you're willing to work hard, I think that you will succeed to whatever – you will rise to whatever your talents will and time and effort will take you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good argument. But again, you know, when you have a president, and I think I can make a good argument that Obama has killed more black people than any president in history, given his stand on abortion.
Yeah.
I think I'm comfortable in saying that since Obama, we have the lowest rates of black home ownership. We have more blacks on welfare. We have more blacks dependent on government. And yet and still, we're supposed to see this guy as a hero?
It goes the same for the white side. I mean, if you go look on the reverse side of that, we have more white guys on food stamps and mm-hmm. poverty, and it cuts both ways.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's on a whole.
As a whole,
no matter what nationality you come from.
I think you have the right to be even more upset because he's supposed to be one of you guys.
Exactly.
For lack of a better verbiage.
Well, I can handle one of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Because you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. It's not like oh. I hate even you know. I don't want to tippy toe around anything because you know something.
You never tippy toe.
Well, true. You know, one of the things that Greg brings up is the black genocide that occurs with Planned Parenthood. If you look at the statements of people like Mary Sanger and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and stuff, the entire initialization of Planned Parenthood was genocide. It's horrible what this country has done.
Yeah,
I was in a debate in Chico, and I was asked a question about Planned Parenthood, and when I gave that history, all those liberals just shut their mouths and were like, "Uh-oh." What can we say now?
Wow.
It's the truth.
I mean, so much potential and so much just lost.
Well, it's so scary they don't even know that.
No, they don't know it.
And have no desire to find out about it. And with that, I guess we need to go to a break.
What?
Sorry about that, but we got to go to a break. Bob's over here giving us...
Chomping at the keyboard.
Yeah. So if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Ladybot and the Bluebirds in Overtime Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino, Thursday, February 2nd from 6:30 to 8:30. Join me, Linda Bott, as I sing my favorite jazz standards featuring Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Verimontis on drums, and Joe Larson on trombone. That's February 2nd from 6:30 to 8:30 in Overtime Lounge. See you there.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer. What shall we do about
them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, brought to you by Powerhouse Solar of Reading, Sundays at noon on KCNR.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Robin Mines, we're back. Gregory Cheadle's with us, and he will be at the Reading Tea Party.
Yes, he is one of
mañana
Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots
tomorrow night at 6 p.m.
Yeah, if you're a Tea Party guy, remember how bad the Tea Party was, and now that they're the Patriots, they're great guys.
That's a safe place to be.
It is great, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody carries up. I'm always protected.
There you have
it. You know what I love? What I love is looking at social media and the news stories is virtually overnight I have gone from an anti-government radical to a lapdog of the system. Just like that. That's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we do have a caller on the line. We have Steve in Palisadro on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Doing good. You?
Fine.
you know, I just I listen to you all the time, and I just want to bring up two things. I'll try to make it as quick as I can because I don't know if the time limit. But one is as far as the racial separation. I was down in Manteca last spring, last April, and I knew I was going to I live up here. I was going to go crappie fishing up at Lake Britton in May, and so I was down there, and I went into the Bass Pro Shop, and there was a black guy looking kind of at the same thing, and the lures, the crappie-type lures, and I just started talking to him, and he was kind of surprised, you know, that I started talking to him, you know, and at first he kind of had a walnut shell around him, you know, kind of, you know, he was kind of in his own space, and you know, as the time went by, you know, the shell started to go away, and he started talking to me, and he was showing me, bringing me around the store, and showing me this, what he uses it down, and he fished at the Delta, and this, and this, and I found what I needed, he told me, and he showed me what he used, and we shook hands, and, you know, we left, never saw him again. I didn't know who he was, I didn't know his name. You know, it worked out. You know, I just started talking to them. And the other issue was with Planned Parenthood. Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm 72 now. And the issue was with Planned Parenthood. I had a vice. You know, you always talk about the women going to Planned Parenthood. But I'm talking about the men that maybe go there still. I don't even know if it still exists. It used to be down by the old Shasta General Hospital, you know, in Breslauer. And I went there to have a vasectomy, and everybody had told me, oh, you just kind of, it's kind of in and out thing, you know. So I made an appointment. I think it was like, it was in the afternoon, like after lunch, it was 1 o'clock or 1:30, and I went in there and went through the protocol or whatever we have to do. And I don't think that doctor that was in there knew was what he was doing, you know.
Oh, no.
That's a terrifying
I'm not sure I want to go any farther with this story.
I'm already hurting.
They gave me a local, you know.
Well.
They gave me a local, honest, this is the truth. You know, and this doctor, you know, and then, you know, just was messing around. Because I told my wife, you know, she was home, because they say it's just, you know, come in and you go home, you know. So I told my wife I should be home, not long. And so I went in there, and he messed around.
And you were still under a local.
And
And
it's not long.
No, and so, right. So then, you know, the local was wearing off, and he had to give me another local. And he still was messing around. He said he didn't know what cord to cut. This is the honest to God truth.
It's terrifying.
And so he finally had to deliver this.
And you stayed?
He goes, I'll be right back. He went over to Shasta General to get this doctor from Shasta General to come over and finish the process.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hold on.
Oh, Steve, you're killing me.
I don't know what to do. No. I'll be back.
You know, I'm going to put my legs spread apart. Finally, when it was over with, I said, can I use your phone? I want to call my wife.
You were able to call?
call my lawyer.
I called my wife home finally. And, you know, and when I finally got up and was able to go, the office was closed.
I believe it.
You know, whatever time they closed at 5 o'clock or something.
No, they do. They knew they were wrong.
Oh boy, I think I would have called my lawyer, Steve. Listen, we're running out of time. We got a couple more callers on here, so we got to go.
No,
Hey, we appreciate your call. That was the best story today.
Thanks a lot for the call. We needed that.
All I wanted to say was the credibility of the doctors that they have there.
Right. I appreciate that. Planned Parenthood. So there you have it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
It's locker room talk.
And we have another caller on the line.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble locating
I thought
your
we.
Uterus.
I thought we had. Yeah, we have another caller. Lori.
Hey.
Hey, Lori.
Oh, we got a busy signal, Bob. There we go.
Hello?
Yes, we're here, Lori.
Hey, you how's it going, Lori?
I have a perfect quote. There's no segue for the previous caller other than to say, if you can't feel fear, you cannot feel bravery.
And if you can't feel it, you can't feel anything.
Wait, wait. If your doctor can't feel it.
I can't
Oh, no.
My legs. I can't feel my legs. You cut the wrong cord.
We have a 2-hour show next week. You have to stay for 3 hours. Find the time. Anyway,
well, you know, speaking of that, Lori,
the Indigenous people thing done yesterday at the United Methodist with Mr. Dadigan. There's maybe about 150, 200 folks there that were actually in attendance for the Dakota Pipeline. 8 or 9 people were sharing their personal experience. So, along with what you're saying with the you know, the racial stuff, Bismarck, the people, they were just trying to protect their capital. I guess a horse died from a quote-unquote rubber bullet. One gal might be blinded now, and that one gal that had her arm kind of blown up, I guess, going to be removed or has already been so. So anyway, I'll catch up with you guys on that whole thing because it's all about we have to take a stand. We can't rely on just this media that is a joke.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate everything you're doing. And next week we're starting our Library Free Series, Fluoride, Poison on Tap. So it's a free 3:30 to 5:30 at the library, and Dane will be there for Q&A. So all these multiple cuts are adding up, and we're just not going to take it anymore.
Thanks,
so,
Lori. We appreciate
adios.
The call.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate that.
And just so everybody knows, we will be looking for sponsors as well, so that anybody that wants to you know, sponsor this program, get some advertising on it, we will be looking at just great deals to keep us on the air, and you know, we'll be talking more about that as we go along.
And not only just keep us on the air, but you know, with proper support, we can expand our capabilities in the things that we do and continue to bring you the good news, the true news, and the things that we
and you can send me
do.
To DC with a camera
exactly.
And a mic.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, we could.
I know. You know, I mean, how great would that be? It'd be perfect. So, with that,
we do have Gail Jenner on the phone with us. Good morning, Gail.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
We have a few minutes to the end of the show, but we wanted to bring you on so that you could at least let people know that you'll be at the meeting tomorrow night and what you're all about.
Well, I was invited to come and speak about the history behind the State of Jefferson movement, the original State of Jefferson movement, which actually goes back to the Gold Rush. I am an author. I've written 4 books about the State of Jefferson, more from a historical and geographical and, you know, kind of a photographic picture of the region, not so much the political activity, although, you know, personally I'm deeply interested in the movement. We are ranchers up here in Scott Valley, up in Siskiyou County, and so we certainly support the movement and the thinking and the rationale behind the State of Jefferson. So I'm going to be sharing principally about the history behind it and answering questions and just becoming a part of the evening, I guess. It's 6 o'clock, I hear.
All right.
Yeah. Very good.
And we do. We have a fascinating history up here. It's a deep and rich history, and a lot of people don't know a lot of it. And there's some very interesting things that have gone on, you know, from the Civil War between Lassen and what would become Plumas County over the line in Nevada, you know, Captain Jack. There's all kinds of history up here.
And what made you get interested in the State of Jefferson? Is there some history behind that, a little bit of history?
Well, I am a history and English teacher, retired now, but originally getting involved in my husband's, their 5 generations now on the cattle ranch up here. So being steeped in history as a wife and rancher's wife, and then as a teacher, I became very, very fascinated, especially I was teaching California history at the time, which we don't teach anymore, sadly enough. And, you know, I began to stumble across just bits and pieces about it. And then talked to other old timers who had been part and parcel of the 1941 movement. And one old timer, she's gone now, but she was a natural historian for the area. She was the one who pretty much tagged me and said, you know, there's not been a lot written about the state of Jefferson. And that was back in 2000 or 2001. And so we put together the first book, and it was so well received that we then did a second book, and that was well received, and we did a third book. And then I have since done a fourth book on the region. And so got involved that way. And then, of course, as the political movement began to grow and become more outspoken, I was contacted by Oregon Public TV and helped them put together the State of Jefferson PBS special that they did. And Huell Hauser for California Gold contacted me, and I helped them set up some appointments. Although I was disappointed in his program because he sort of got off the rails as far as I was concerned with the State of Jefferson. And I don't think that program does the movement much justice. But anyway, that aside, I just got involved historically first, and then as a member of a sympathetic member as it grew.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Did we lose her?
I am. Yes.
Oh, very good.
So you'll be down at the meeting tomorrow night at the Patriot meeting at 6 p.m. along with Gregory.
Mm-hmm. Yes, at the Eagles Nest Church on Bocelli Lane.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I understand it's a pretty active group. I've been in contact with Sally Raposa for quite a while. We communicate back and forth. And, of course, Aaron Ryan has been very helpful. We've actually had a situation up here that we've been actively using Doug LaMalfa and Aaron and helping us on the ranch with some NOAA and U.S. Forest Service intervention and situations, and they've been very, very helpful.
Well, very good. We appreciate your getting involved in the State of Jefferson movement on this stuff, and we're gonna make another state here pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. It would be great.
Yep. Absolutely. So I guess we'll see you over there tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. Sounds great.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right. Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Uh-huh. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I got a couple of
there really is a deep and rich history here. I mean, you could literally fill volumes of history books of just stuff that has gone on in what's considered Jefferson now, you know, from our connection to Black Bart and the gold fields, the timber industry. The guy Abner Weed was a fascinating person. There's a lot.
And it's scary. She said that they don't even teach it in school anymore. Nothing?
No. California history as a whole is fascinating.
I'm shocked.
It's a microcosm of how not to do things.
And to let people know, she will have her books at the meeting tomorrow night, I guess, on sale. So if you're interested in getting that information so you can pass it along and even brush up on your own history of California, there will be books.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, interestingly, I got a couple of things here I'm looking at. Basically, this is saying, is Team Trump baiting the liberal media and refugee protesters by using Obama's own policy?
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
This is probably going to come out here in the next few days or so. It seems to be from the story I'm looking at here, is that if you review the actual text of the executive order that Obama passed, that's the text that Trump's using.
Wow.
He's baiting them.
And I asked someone yesterday, I said, have you read the order? Everyone's upset, you know, but no one has read the order.
Mm-hmm.
No. Evidently, he's just invoking the executive order that Obama already passed.
Yeah.
This guy's just, you know, he's good.
And what about Obama with the Cubans just before he left office? What was that policy? If you step foot on shore in Florida, you could be a citizen. Mm-hmm. He threw that out.
Yeah.
Just before he left office.
Yeah. The
Cuban, no one's upset about that.
Yeah, the Cuban community in Florida was not a big fan of Barack Obama at all. And the way that he threw the doors open to what is still an oppressive and tyrannical government in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they haven't changed.
But the liberals weren't upset about it. They weren't marching in the streets over that.
Well, you know, it just cracks me up. They walk around with Che Guevara shirts on and things like that. You know, they don't know who these guys are, how many people they killed.
He looks good.
It looks really cool having a Che Guevara. You know, forget you all the people that he killed. You know, I mean,
you want to talk about
a ruthless murderer. Yeah, I mean, racist the whole nine. But that's okay because it looks cool. Here's another one in. We're almost out of time.
We're going for another hour.
Interestingly enough, Trump might be working another angle on this Mexican wall thing. It seems that we control 2/3 of the money coming into Mexico with trade, wire transfers, and aid. He could easily collapse Mexico, and they, of course, know this. Interestingly enough, he is, you know, using this leverage over. He's basically put their president into a between a rock and a hard place. The president of Mexico is trapped between the cartels and our president.
Yeah.
Which side are you on? Is where are you going to drain the swamp, or are we going to just keep?
Which side is safer?
Well, considering that there's a valid argument that it was the cartels that put him in power in the first place.
Wow. So who knows? Maybe Mexico is going to sink into the ocean right next to Southern California.
Boy.
Oh, well. We're about out of time.
That's, again, where history plays in. Examine the history and the relations between Mexico and the United States. We've never been friends. Going back to the Mexican-American War, the Zimmerman telegram of World War I, the fact that we quietly invaded Mexico during World War II to shut off the flow of Mexican oil to the German war machine.
We're out of time.
We're done.
They're going to start the music.
Don't forget, we'll be on at a different time next week.
We'll see Greg tomorrow night, and there you have it.
And you've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Thanks for having me on.
Very good. Remember when all of our health insurance got cheaper and we were given free unicorns?
That was just, a couple years ago.
You're born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force, like fire, is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties, liberty over security, truth over lies. Hey, have a great day. See you next
week. I need
some
feed from my unicorn.
Mine died.
My unicorn died. Will continue for at least 120 days. He added there may be a closer look at immigrants from 46 other Muslim countries in addition to the original 7. Those free of terrorist links.